much about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective. Let me ask you a question. I have a question. I'm gonna take a look short quiz here. How many people are doing really well today? Can we have some thumbs up for all those that are doing well? Yay!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel. It's like a chamois, it's like a towel, it's like a sponge. A regular towel doesn't work wet. This works wet or dry. This is for the house, the car, the boat, the RV. ShamWow holds 20 times its weight in liquid. Look at this. It just does the work.
That seems unlikely.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar. And it tastes less fattening because it's European dessert. And then I just like some of the syrup, flan syrup.
And now...
Do fat people repulse you?
Yes.
That answer is true.
Our feature presentation.
That answer is true. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 8th of July. How about that?
Wow. July is flying by.
It's almost over. We want to start today with a strange story. You saw the story over the weekend of the Asiana plane crash in San Francisco.
Yes.
Where they think that it was an absolutely fine plane. It was just pilot error, which you don't really ever see.
Hardly
There's
ever.
There's always something wrong with the plane. And in this particular case, it seems like there wasn't.
Yeah.
But there's – and a bunch of people got off. But there's one person, and you just got to go, you know what? It's my time. It was my time. Because, what are there, millions of flights a day? Would you say millions?
Absolutely.
Like, and how many of them crash? It's infinitesimal. The odds against it are crazy.
Yeah.
So one person gets off the plane and is fine and is walking away, and an ambulance on the way to the crash runs them over.
Yeah.
Now, at that point, you just go... It was my time.
It's the saddest story ever. It's like that Chinese schoolgirl.
I just survived a plane accident, a 777, huge plane, and I survived. Boom!
Yeah.
And
it's
then,
unbelievable.
I mean, really, and the rest of the family has to go, look, what are you going to do? The dude survived the plane crash and then got run over by an ambulance or one of the first responders. I mean, it's your time to go. Just give it up and say, all right.
We might need a new system.
We out.
You know? There may be a problem with how that whole thing works.
With how they run over passengers that just got off the plane?
Yes.
Well, it was, it's a unique, ironic, crazy situation.
Yeah.
You don't see the first thing happen ever, and then the second thing happened, and you just go, well, that person really just probably... I mean, really, probably death had been coming for that person for a long time.
Been dodging it all this time.
Yes, and so then it was this plane crash, and then death's like, come on! What does it take? Ran over with an ambulance, so that's...
That's the saddest part of the whole thing, I heard.
That's good times. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have Jim Rash and Nat Faxon, who are from a movie called The Way, Way Back.
Which looks great.
Which is great.
You saw it?
I saw it yesterday. My wife chose it. And I was like, come on. I've never even heard of that movie. How good can it be? She's like, it's supposed to be really good. So I was like, all right. I always pick bad movies. You can pick them. And so she took me to the movie, and it was great.
Awesome.
Who knew?
Glad to hear that.
Anthony Jeselnik will be in the studio talking about the Jeselnik Offensive, which comes back tomorrow night.
Okay.
Very excited about that. That is the most offensive show on TV, including Tosh.
That's saying something.
So that is saying something. We have Dax Holt from TMZ.com.
Catch
we have Tadoff Switler talking about her new fragrance. Very excited about that.
Okay.
And your calls on the 4th of July disasters, as that seems to happen to our audience, and myself, to be honest, more than most people.
I was going to say you, more than anyone
well,
I know.
I was given some really good advice that I should lay low this year, perhaps.
Really?
Yeah.
Like people know now.
Well, yeah. That, I mean, it was
the
like
man knows.
5 years in a row, the man... was starting to get annoyed with me. So anyway, so we'll take your calls today on that as well. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat. And that is next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. And this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
I am a genius. I'll tell you why just after the top of the hour.
Well, it's just a given. No. Just obvious. You don't have to tell us.
I mean, I think most people understand that.
Just have to look at you. Just have to listen to you.
Another reason why, though, just after the top of the hour. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of genius, have you heard about the Coke bottle? It's made entirely of ice.
No.
No.
I had this idea years ago, and like a fool, I did nothing about it. And now here it is. It's going to be the biggest thing in the world. And what do I get? Bupkis.
Nothing.
Zero.
How's it going to be the biggest thing in the world?
Because it's a bottle made out of ice.
Right.
So you drink your cold Coca-Cola in a bottle made of ice.
Right.
But then doesn't it melt?
Doesn't the bottle
melt? That's the beauty. What could be more green? What could be more friendly to the environment? Then you put the bottle down when you're done, and it just melts into water, Lisa. It just goes away.
But what if you're
looking
at me? You're looking
room.
At me like this is a bad idea. It's a genius idea.
But what if you're not drinking it fast enough? Then you're holding the bottle. It starts to melt.
Well,
and Coke
get a
goes
move
everywhere.
On. Get a move on, then.
Don't babysit it. Just go ahead and down it.
Apparently, it's only available right now in Colombia, South America.
That's where they do the most good work for...
Coke for Coke?
Don't babysit it. Just go ahead and down it.
Apparently, it's only available right now in Colombia, South America.
That's where they do the most good work for...
Coke for Coke?
And it's been a huge hit with beach... Colombia, South America.
That's where they do the most good work for...
Coke for Coke?
And it's been a huge hit with beachgoers there.
Huh.
Coke bottle made out of ice.
49er, Namde Asamoah.
Oh, she going to take his name?
I don't believe so. Kerry Asamoah would not look so good on a marquee. He, of course, is a cornerback for the 49ers. They got married on June the 24th, and they just finally announced it this weekend. And a star of Arrow and Captain Jack from Torchwood, Scott Barrowman, and his longtime partner, Scott Gill, finally got married over the holiday weekend on July the 2nd, so congratulations to those guys.
See the bad dude in Arrow?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was also in... You watched Torchwood?
Yeah.
Captain Jack. Yeah. Yeah. Kris Jenner's new talk show hasn't even started yet, and people are already saying it's a failure. Oh, I get such a glee from this story. According to Star Magazine. Now, this is going to come as a surprise to you, but she apparently is ticking off the staff by acting like a diva. Can you imagine
that?
Can you imagine... her walking in there with no track record whatsoever and not having any experience as a talk show host and yet still being just a raving bitch to everyone and making their life a living hell. Can
Those
you imagine that?
People must be lying. Everything we know about her.
Right. She's a gem, right?
Oh.
She's a peach. Producers apparently aren't too happy about her weak guest list either. It seems like no one wants to go on her show to be a guest, and so they're struggling to find people. She invited Kanye West to be her first interview. He politely declined, according to all sources.
Yes.
So that ain't gonna happen. Lady Gaga is reportedly finishing up her stint at the Cliffside Malibu Rehab. When she gets out, she's going to head back to New York, apparently, to get out of the glaring Hollywood paparazzi lenses. And
plus, there's no partying in New York, so that's good.
Well, she's going to move in to her the Long Island home of her mother, Dina. Dina said she can't wait to get Lindsay home. I kid you not, her plan is to throw a giant pool party to celebrate Lindsay's return.
Well, I think she gets it.
poor girl doesn't have a chance.
She never did.
She really is just...
Both parents. You can't tell which are worse.
Man. Amanda Bynes says Drake is ugly. Just an update for any of your Amanda Bynes, if you're behind on her Twitter feed.
Yeah, because the last I saw was she wants him to have her baby again.
No, now she says she's in love with someone else.
Okay.
This was her tweet. In love with someone else who I do not follow on Twitter, who is the most gorgeous man I know.
Okay.
Then she tweeted that Drake comes in a close second to being the most gorgeous man she knows. Then she tweeted... Drake is ugly. Then she tweeted, he must have that disease that makes young people look like old people because he looks like he's about 80.
Okay.
So
it's hard to keep up with her.
For her, it's hard to keep up for her.
Yeah.
Imagine being Amanda Bynes. We constantly have all those voices coming out of your head.
I want to marry you. I want you to have my baby. You're ugly.
You're ugly. You look 80. And while we're talking about talk shows, as we were with Kris Jenner's, the producers of The View are reportedly... talking about replacing Joy Behar, who's just hard to listen to on any level.
That whole show's unwatchable.
Yeah. But with Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, really?
Talk about from the frying pan into the fire.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
That would almost get me to watch.
Would it really?
Yeah, just because, at least for a little bit, it sounds like the worst idea ever.
Yeah,
it really does.
You might be watching some train wreck television. And while we're talking about people with who are known for showing off their boobs, David Arquette had a great weekend, a better weekend than us,
I'm guessing.
He was in Vegas. Well, Kevin, you were in Vegas last week.
Boobies. I like boobies.
Yeah. But did you go topless skydiving with the ladies from the Hustler Club in Vegas?
What? That's a thing?
That's what David Arquette... Well, it's not that you can't sign up for it.
Well...
Yeah, it's not a Groupon. It was an event called the Flight of the Tatas.
Boobs.
And it was to raise money for breast cancer research.
How am I not on whatever mailing list that is?
And so they had a group of the ladies from the Hustler Club skydive with their boobies flapping in the breeze. Now, here's the thing. It's against regulations in Vegas to skydive topless. You can't do it.
They actually have a law about it.
Yes, they do.
In Las Vegas?
Yes. It's illegal.
Giant size cans.
So what the gals did was they jumped out of the planes nude, and then they put on bikinis as they went down, and by the time they landed, they were wearing bikinis.
All of them?
Yes.
Somebody had to struggle.
I was thinking, how hard would it be to put on a bikini midair while you're plummeting towards the earth? These girls are talented.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
That's what I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeffrey Tambor is 69 years old today. He's great in everything he does.
Yeah.
Angelica Houston is 62. Kevin Bacon turns 55. That bastard age, you bastard.
I know.
Toby Keith is 53. Andy Fletcher, keyboardist for Depeche Mode, is 52. Singer Joan Osborne turns 51. Actor Billy Crudup is 45 years old. Beck's 43. Milo Ventimiglia, you know him from Heroes, 36 years old. Actress Sophia Bush. Do we have Nobel? There we go. He's 31 years old today. And Jaden Smith. Oh, super talented actor, rapper, rock on tour. Jaden Smith. Today's my birthday. Today I'm 15.
Douche.
It's the coolest and the coolest. It's the smoothest and the coolest. It's the crudest and the rudest and the stupid kid. Mr. Vicious with his missus blowing kisses to his mistress and his missus blowing riches like some hooligans. I wasn't tripping.
You love him.
Horrible. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 6 o'clock. Dax Holt from TMZ.com on the way. Your 4th of July disasters and comedian Anthony Jeselnik also coming up. First, I got to tell you about how I was a genius in Las Vegas. Doesn't happen very often.
You are a genius.
Genius, yeah. I'm a genius.
Did you invent the ice Coke bottle?
I did not. No.
Then I have no time for you,
but
sir.
I would have done something about it had I, done, yeah, had I thought of it. No, I was in Vegas for EDC. The Electric Daisy Carnival. It's an EDM festival, and it's 3 nights, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday we go, and it's a nightmare to get out to that place. It's at the Speedway in Vegas. Have you ever been out there?
I have not, no.
It's not that far, and it takes about 6 hours to get there and six hours to get there.
Well, it's like a small city worth of people.
Yeah, it's 125,000 people or something like that. So we go Friday night, and we can't get a cab back until, I don't know, 7:30 a.m.
Jeez.
The sun had come up, and, you know, when you're in Vegas and you go there the day before and then the sun comes up, you go, all right, I could use a nap.
That hurts.
At this point.
At this point, you're probably out of ecstasy, too, so that's going to be a bummer. Your glow sticks have all extinguished.
So all this is a setup for the fact that I'm a genius. All right?
Okay.
So then Saturday night, party bus makes it a little easier.
Party bus! I'm a party bus.
Makes it a little easier to get there and back. And then Sunday, I'm going to play in the World Series of Poker. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm ready.
That's a weekend, man.
Right? Yeah. So I go on Sunday, and I am not in the best shape of my life. On Sunday.
I find that hard to believe.
So the tournament starts at noon, and I'm out by 2.
Whoa.
2 p.m. It's a 3-day tournament.
Wow.
Out by 2 p.m.
You've never been out faster.
Never faster, no. Nope.
I don't know what to do. Like, I get
that must be some sort of record. Do they give you some sort of participation ribbon or a trophy or something?
You do. Here's how you plan. It's a 3-day tournament, so you plan noon to midnight or 1 a.m. That's how long you play in these tournaments. And then the next day is the same.
Yeah.
And then maybe the third day is. So you planned for all that. And then 2 hours in, you go, now what? It's Sunday and it's 2 p.m. and I'm out.
Wow.
Now what do I do? So I thought, I should go back to EDC because that was fun. It was a good time.
Still going on.
And Dave and Omar and everybody from the station had already come back on Sunday because they had to work on Monday and I was on vacation.
Right.
So I was by myself. So I thought, well, I'm gonna go back out there, but I'm going to do it right. So I after I left the WSOP, the World Series of Poker, I went to the poker room and I won some money from people there. It's much easier to win money there than it is in the World Series of Poker.
Sure.
Find one idiot with a lot of money and you can make a bunch of dough. So I win $800 and I call and there's a helicopter service.
Shut up.
For $600 that'll take me out to EDC and back. And I'm thinking, this isn't even my money. This is that guy's money.
No traffic, no hassle, no
right.
worries.
Right. So on my way back from EDC at, I don't know, 4 or something like that, I'm sitting in the front right, the back left door opens. And there's air spinning around and
of a helicopter?
Yes, and the helicopter.
That's not what you want.
And the helicopter like stops in the air. And my first thought was, how funny is it going to be to the people at work that I died in a helicopter?
I took a helicopter after all, party.
After all that time. All right. So anyway, he fixes it fine. We get back. It's been a long, long day. I lost. I went out to EDC. It's 4 a.m. I'm already hungover, blah, blah, blah. I get out of the cab at the Rio. It's about 5 a.m.
Jesus.
And I leave my cell phone in the cab. And I was so bummed. I was like, man, this turned out to be a bad day. I need somebody there with me at all times, I think.
Yeah, you need a keeper.
I do. I need somebody just to watch over
me. A wrangler.
So I left my cell phone. And I was like, God damn it, this makes me mad. And I thought, how can I? So I went over to the guy that calls the cabs and was like, did you see what cab company that was? He was like, no. And I thought, I watched nothing but CIA TV shows. I should be able to figure this out. And I was angry. So I was like, well, how could I figure this out? So I went to security and I said, you guys have cameras everywhere, don't you? And they were like, yes, we do, sir. And I said, can you go 5 minutes back and see which cab I got out of so I can find my cell phone? And at this point, I'm like, freaking genius.
Genius.
Did you thought of that?
You're like Sherlock Holmes.
I'm Sherlock Holmes.
It's elementary.
I would have just called my cell phone.
All right, that's
all right. Lisa's a little bit more genius than you.
That's
maybe.
An option.
Yeah.
So he goes back.
But this is cooler, Lisa. Security this is much
cameras
cooler.
Are good.
So he goes back and he can't see the company number, but he finds the cab number 6315. So
he really did that.
Yes.
I'm
so then
shocked.
He gives me. You should be shocked at me. I'm a genius. So he gives me a list of 12 cab companies, and I call all of them, and most of them don't have a cab 6315. So I was like, this is great, narrowing it down.
Wow.
I find the one that does. I leave my home.
Person of interest.
Right. I find the one company that has the 6315, and I leave them my home phone number, and I go to bed, and I think, I am a freaking genius. And about 2 hours later, my wife calls, and she goes, I got your phone. I emailed her when I got back to the room. I lost my phone, blah, blah, blah. She called, and she goes, I got your phone. I said, how? And she said, I called it. And it wasn't until then that I thought I could have just dialed my number.
But that's
hell?
Not as cool.
Right, but it took an hour and a half my way.
He called 12 companies.
I called 12 different companies. But I narrowed it down. I got the number and she said, "You called it, right?" And I've learned just not to
You're
try.
Killing me.
I've learned just not to try and snow my. She knows me, so she knows beyond the shadow of a doubt that I didn't. And she finds this extremely funny because
I, as do I.
In my email, I was like, oh, it took an hour and a half, but I was really smart, and I went back to the security camera and all that kind of stuff. She said, yeah, the cab driver just answered and said, yeah, I was waiting for somebody to call. Swing got sure, the next day.
Sure, if you want to do it the easy way.
Right. Anybody could just call your own cell phone.
Lazy.
Right.
Lazy wife.
But let's see her find it my way.
Boom.
Right?
Right.
Who's with me?
I'm with you.
USA! USA!
What's up? This is Chad.
106.7 K-Rock. This is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about the new Taylor Swift fragrance in a minute.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, these celebrity fragrances. Oh, and she takes so much credit for coming up with it from scratch, like that happened. First, though, it's time to talk to Dax Holt from TMZ.com. Dax, welcome.
Good morning. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
How was your weekend?
Weekend was awesome. I didn't have to do anything. I just got to sit by the pool and relax.
That doesn't seem possible for anybody that works at TMZ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it seems like you would have two or three cell phones and they'd be going off at all times.
I'm not saying that my cell phone didn't go off all right. This weekend, but I did get to enjoy most of the weekend.
TMZ is on Fox, of course, Monday to Friday, 6 p.m., and then seven more times, and then TMZ Live is on at 4 p.m. on Fox.
Well
so
done.
True. It's like Dax, anytime you turn on Fox. Oh, God,
Dax,
TMZ
let's talk about Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard. Kobe really, really took a swipe at Dwight. I mean, this is
the lowest you can do, you guys.
I mean, I don't know what else you can do to somebody that is worse.
Yeah, so obviously Dwight, you know, he's head to the Rockets, and which ticked off Kobe, so he did what anyone else would do, and he unfollowed him on Twitter.
He did not.
He did.
Unfollowed Dwight.
What
can
a
you believe it?
Bitch move.
Unbelievable. Dwight must have been crushed.
I love that that's how, like, people like take swipes at each other these days. It's
yeah.
Like, well, I'm going to unfollow you on Twitter.
I'm going to unfollow you on Twitter.
And then you're going to know I really don't like you. And I might even go to the next level, and I may unfriend you on Facebook, too.
Oh, I don't know that he wants to go that far.
Hello.
Let's not be crazy. I don't know if you saw the fight over the weekend, Dax, from TMZ. But did you see the Anderson Silva fight, Chris Weidman?
Yeah. It was pretty damn awesome.
Anderson Silva, who they announced... You know, Joe Rogan is the announcer there, probably 15 times before the fight, 25 times before the fight, is that he's the greatest UFC fighter of all time, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 then gets knocked out.
Then gets knocked out. He goes out, and he's just clowning, and he's like, come on, punch me, I got my arms down.
Well, that was the problem. He was too cocky in the fight, and so he's sitting there, and he's got his hands down most of the time, and you're like, what are you doing, dude? I like, look, we all know that you've been awesome for the last 7 years, you're undefeated, all that kind of stuff. But you can't get that cocky.
He was.
Then someone else will come in and they will knock your ass out.
But here's my question for you, Dax. Was it on purpose? Because to me, it totally looked like it.
Oh, you think he wasn't even.
I think Anderson Silva had decided, I'm done being champ. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of work. I do, because when they asked him afterwards if he wanted a rematch, he said no. Have you ever heard of a fighter
that's weird,
who's a champion who gets knocked out that says, nah,
I'm good with that.
I'm good. Have you ever seen that?
That is kind of weird. I guess I didn't think about it when it was happening. But now that you say it, now I'm kind of wondering.
But you do have a story up about Chris Weidman's after party, and I didn't see many details about this. Because he was not supposed to beat Anderson Silva, and now he's the belt holder. So that party must have gone off.
Yeah, I mean, he went over to Surrender Nightclub at the Wynn Hotel, rolled in with 40 people at about 1:30 a.m., and Mike Miller and a couple of NBA champs were there with him. But the best part was just, you know, normally when you see someone after a fight, their face is, like, swollen. They've got it, like, you know.
Yeah, they got some cuts, some bruises,
whatever.
Right.
He walks in, and it looks like he's totally fine.
Yeah, not like he hadn't even fought, right?
No. And there's confetti falling. He brought his belt with him, having a great time. And I'm like, this is how you should be rolling into a club.
Agreed. If you're going to go into a club, being the UFC champ is the way to do it with the belt. And I would take the belt everywhere I went from now on, because he's probably going to lose his next fight. But
that belt is like a part of you now.
Of course. Of course. I'd wear it to church. I'd wear it everywhere I went. Dax from TMZ.com talking about, let's talk about Tan Mom. This is a bizarre story.
Okay, so Tan Mom, she's been in rehab for the last couple days. She went in there for alcoholism. Well, apparently over the weekend she suffers a seizure, and they immediately rush her over to the local hospital. She's supposed to be in there for like 45 days. They end up keeping her for 5 hours, and then they're like, okay, she's good, and
she's
send
good.
Her back to rehab.
Send her back. We don't like her.
That happened on Dr. Drew's rehab show once.
It happens a lot.
I
it's
bet
one
it does.
Of the detox problems is that you can have a seizure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, your body's used to a substance that you've been putting into it for so long, and then you take that substance away, and then your body's going to react somehow.
I right. thought it was kind of funny, though, that your headline was just basically that she's out of danger and back in rehab. Like, that's not exactly moving forward, is it?
Listen, it's Tan Mom. We do what we can.
But here's my question. Lisa, yeah. How old is Tan Mom?
She looks 68.
45 years old.
45.
That
according
is not
to TMZ.
True.
45 years old.
No
her
way.
Her skin is 85, but her.
Oh my God.
That is tragic.
I thought I would have guessed 70.
Really?
Yeah, 60, she's 70.
45?
45 years old.
And yet
she
we still get photos
80.
Of her topless on the beach.
Yeah, ooh, and we don't guys. Want those. Can you somehow get a message to her? We need to let the right people know that they should go topless, and the wrong people know we don't need to see that. Can you use your power for evil here, or for good?
I think good. It's good.
Listen, when I get those photos, I have to share them with the world. I don't want to keep something like that for myself.
You don't have to do that.
So even when your eyes bleed, you go, yes, everyone else needs to
exactly.
see this.
Exactly. I don't want to be the only eyes bleeding in this
you
world.
You bastard. All right, Daxel, thanks for joining us today. TMZ, of course, Fox Monday to Friday at 6 p.m. And then TMZ Live is at 4 p.m. on Fox. You're the best. Thank you for talking to us.
Thanks, guys.
4th of July disasters coming up just after the top of the hour. Manny Ramirez is playing back in the United States, by the way. I don't know if you heard that or not.
I didn't know that.
Jim Rash and Nat Faxon from the movie The Way, Way Back, which I saw yesterday and is great, will be on the program. And Anthony Jeselnik, comedian, will be here first. Let's talk about Taylor Swift. She has a fragrance, and they all do. All celebrities have fragrances.
And they make a fortune.
If they're successful, they can make a $100 million fortune.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. And who buys this stuff?
I don't know. It must be her fans.
I guess. I don't know one single person who buys celebrity fragrance.
She was honored with the top prize for, quote, celebrity fragrance of the year at last night's Fragrance Foundation Awards in New York City.
Who knew that existed?
What a great award that must have been. So she's got this Wonderstruck is the name of her first one. And Wonderstruck Enchanted is the name of her second one. And we thought we would catch up with Taylor this morning and just find out, you know, what all the fragrances are about.
Okay.
Hi, Taylor Swift. Or Tate
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you're calling me. Oh, my God. Oh, oh.
Taylor?
Oh, my God.
Taylor, it's okay. Taylor, you knew we were calling.
No, I had no idea. I'm so surprised. Oh, my God. I can't okay. believe you're calling me.
Right.
Who is this again?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. So you won an award for your fragrance. How about that?
Oh, my God. I can't believe I won. Oh.
No, this happened over the weekend.
Oh, I can't believe I won.
You have to be able to believe it now.
I still can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Wonderstruck and then Wonderstruck Enchanted.
Yeah, Enchanted.
What does that mean exactly? How does that smell different than Wonderstruck?
Well, at first you're Wonderstruck. You're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is right. happening. I wonder how it happened to me. I'm Wonderstruck.
Right.
And then you put on the next fragrance,
uh-huh.
and you're like, oh, my God, I'm so enchanted. I wonder how I got so enchanted. I'm Wonderstruck.
Now, E! News caught up with you, and you described to them how satisfying it was to be able to start from scratch and make your own fragrance. And I'd like to suggest that you didn't start from scratch.
Well, I have a new fragrance coming out.
So you have a third?
Yes, called Taylor.
Taylor.
Oh, my God, how did I come up with that name?
it's your own name.
Yeah.
And I did come up with that from scratch.
Okay, really, though, because it seems like probably what happens is these fragrance companies come to you and go, smell this, it's a little different, you want to use it? You
no.
don't start from scratch.
No, first I come up with an idea.
Right.
And then it's a notion. And then it's a plan.
Right.
And then it's a concept.
Uh-huh.
And then it's a development.
But you're not a scientist. You're not in some kind of lab somewhere mixing together different scents to make your own, are you?
I am. I put on my glasses and my white lab coat and my goggles.
That doesn't happen.
I go, oh my God, I can't believe I came up with this fragrance. It's so good. It's so enchanted. I'm Wonderstruck that I came up with it. I didn't
Now, how is Taylor different than Wonderstruck and Wonderstruck Enchanted?
Well, Taylor's based on my own personality.
So
it's a bitchy fragrance?
Oh, my God, I I can't believe you just said that to me.
It's a horrible person smelling fragrance?
No, it's based on me.
Right.
And my life.
So it smells like surprise?
Oh, my God. It's so surprising when you put it on. I can't believe it smells so good. It also smells like bitterness and depression.
Does it?
Okay.
And smells like a man walking out a door.
What does that smell like exactly?
Well, it smells like... smells like sweat and cigarettes and cheap liquor.
Oh, and then
the oil here from the hinges as it slams on your face and you never see them again.
Sad.
You've had that experience a lot, though, haven't you?
Oh, my God, I have.
Yeah, you have.
This is a bummer of a phone call. On my knees,
I wait and give me. Song reminds me of early Revolver.
Me too.
You know?
Definitely. I think we influenced them a lot. Those guys.
Savannah Roth was in high school or grade school. I don't know. Kindergarten?
Junior high.
It is 6:52. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is time to check the showbiz. Here's Ralph.
Drumming's not quite as good.
No.
With Black Keys, but, you know, they're young. They'll grow into it, I'm sure.
They'll learn.
The more they listen to Revolver, the better they'll get.
Sure.
It is Monday morning, as we do every Monday morning when we do the Showbiz Beat. We talk about the top 10 movies at the box office. Big, 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 big movie weekend is the 4th of July weekend. Most screenings for the big movies start around Wednesday, and then they go all the way through the end of the weekend. The big winner this year was Despicable Me 2. Destroyed the competition, made just in the weekend, it made $83 million. But if you factor in that long holiday... they made about $140 million.
Wow.
Pretty good for an animated film that cost around $75 million to make. I got to think if they just cast regular voice actors in those roles, it would have cost around $8 to make.
That's true.
I can't imagine what they have to pay Kristen Wiig and Steve Carell and all that gang. But, yeah, big hit for Despicable Me 2. The Lone Ranger, the other blockbuster, well... supposed to be blockbuster for the holiday weekend, did not fare as well. Only made about $30 million over the long weekend.
What did that cost to make?
It cost, depending on who you believe, estimates are between $215 and $250 million.
Wow!
Yikes!
So not doing as well.
Wow!
As they
do you think
expected.
People just can't figure out what it is? Plus, it's long.
I don't know that.
I don't think you know it's long going
in.
I
didn't know it's long going in, but
I think. I think maybe the Lone Ranger has a connotation to it of being like an old-timey character and stuff, and people maybe didn't have that much interest.
Yeah.
I thought Johnny Depp would have been able to overcome that.
That's what I thought. You see Johnny Depp and you go, it looks like he might be funny, sort of like Pirates of the Caribbean.
And it is. It's very much like Pirates of the Caribbean because it's Depp and it's Gore Verbinski who directed those films, and also the screenwriters from Pirates also did this. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It's not a very serious sort of Western, but it's a good time, I thought.
Hmm.
And, reviews were not good from critics. I didn't get that. But, yeah, only around $30 million for the three-day weekend total. In a related story, it has been announced this weekend that Johnny Depp has agreed to Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
Oh,
wow.
For God's sakes.
So they're going back to that well again.
Enough.
Yeah.
Lisa's had it.
I was done.
Cancel
it.
The project.
I didn't see four.
How many have there been?
Well, I don't know.
I think there have been four.
I think you're right. I think they're working on five.
Heat was the third. The Heat.
Can I just say this?
Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock.
I know I'm going to get mocked.
Okay.
The Heat. One of the funniest movies this year.
This is what I have heard as well.
One of
some friends who went. Yeah.
The funniest movies this year.
All right. No one's going to mock you for that.
Really?
I love that.
Well, I thought I'd get mocked for that.
One of the you think is one of the funniest movies of the year. That's predicated. It's one of the funniest movies. Of all the movies you've seen, you laughed the most during The Heat.
Everything Melissa McCarthy says is funny.
She's a funny lady.
Yep.
Monsters University was fourth. World War Z was fifth. White House Down was sixth. Man of Steel came in at number seven with a little over $11 million. Kevin Hart's comedy concert movie, Let Me Explain, was eighth. This is the end, and now you see me rounding out the top 10. A lot of people get married over the holiday, including John Barrowman, who you may know as Captain Jack from Doctor Who and Torchwood. Now you know him from The Arrow, probably. He and his longtime partner, Scott Gill, got married on July the 2nd. Congratulations to those guys. Just announced they got married. Kerry Washington of Scandal and San Francisco 49er Nnamdi Asamoah. They are married on June the 24th, but they finally just announced it to people.
That's the way celebrity weddings should go.
Yeah.
Quietly under the radar. While some people are getting married, some people are thinking of getting out of their marriages. Clint Eastwood reportedly very unhappy with his wife, Dina.
Have you seen her reality show?
She seems like just a box of pain.
She's a box of pain.
It's just so much work. And he's an old man, probably doesn't have the energy to put up with her BS.
Hello.
The final straw that broke the Cowboys' back in Clint's case is apparently she is allowing their daughter Morgan, who's 16 years old, to drink and party with her all the time.
Oh, good.
Clint wants Dina to act like a mother, not like a drinking buddy. That's a lot to ask, isn't it, Clint? Well, for her.
Yeah.
And he is ready to file for divorce and get sole custody of his 16-year-old if all goes according to plan. This is according to Star Magazine. So I've heard there's trouble in that marriage for some time. Plus, he goes around talking to chairs around the house and everything. It's just a bad
thing. He's pretty cranky.
He does seem old and cranky.
Get off my lawn.
And she's
always yelling at those Asian people. He's driving that car around and everything. It just seems.
And she seems like she's the perfect person to drive him out of his mind.
Yeah. I bet he thought initially, this is pretty cool. I'm old and she's sort of young and hot. I'm going to get a lot of hot sex in the bedroom. And then
Then
he started having to listen to her. It all went downhill. And we did just celebrate the birth of our country. Here, Kevin. What birthday did we celebrate this weekend? How many years since we declared independence from?
Oh, it was the 4th of July, Ralph. Thank you for asking.
4th of July, exactly. That's the date. How many years has it been since we declared our independence from England, from that horrible
240.
King Grange? Remember King Grange?
No,
He was the one who was trying
about 240-ish.
Yeah, about 240.
What is it?
237.
All right, yeah, pretty close.
Very good.
If this was Lick Lisa, you would have been well within the range. As we celebrate, an interesting list came out this weekend from a company called Brand Keys. They are a consultancy agency in New York City that helps advertisers and manufacturers refine and promote their brands. They were listed at the top 10 list of the most American brands, most patriotic brands.
Okay.
These are quintessential American products. They're closely associated with America.
Like apple pie and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
John Deere tractor.
Apple pie not on the list, however.
No, but I mean, that's a general.
I know, I'm just kidding. 10th, it was a tie between Budweiser and Marlboro. Now, that is just a good 10 right there. You got a cold, frosty cold Bud, and you spark up a Marlboro Red, and you're celebrating the 4th of July right there. I thought 9th was interesting. It was a dead heat tie between Harley Davidson, quintessential Americana,
sure,
right there, and New Balance.
New Balance. The shoes?
The shoes. I had no idea they were even American.
Me either.
I assumed there were some small Korean kids someplace putting those together in a sweatshop.
Still could be the case.
That's true.
Wow, that's surprising.
Another tie at 8 between Gillette, the best a man can get, and Kodak.
Okay.
Which is a very American product, but are they even in business anymore? Do they do anything?
Kodak. I think so. I don't know.
I can't get film for my Instamatic anymore. Yeah. I know that much.
Those are going away.
Ralph Lauren, 7th on the list. Wrigley's Chewing Gum, 6th. That is a very American product. Been around for a long time.
Okay.
5 surprised me that it ranks so highly. Zippo. The Zippo lighter.
Really?
Yeah. 5th on the list.
That's weird.
You get to Zippo, and then you go back to number 10 with your Budweiser and your Marlboro, and you got yourself a weekend. 4th, Colgate.
All right.
Keeping our teeth clean for generations. Any guesses as to the top three? I'll give you that. There's 2 ties within the top 3, so
Coke
you have and Pepsi? You have five shots.
Oh, that's not
Pepsi,
bad.
Pepsi didn't make the list, but Coke was one of the 2 products tied for number 2.
McDonald's.
Not on the list, Lisa.
What?
I was stunned.
Golden arches.
No golden arches.
Is it, can you give us a hint? Like, is it a food product?
The remaining 4 that you have not guessed yet that are landed in the top 3, we've got food, entertainment, clothing, and automotives.
Entertainment.
Oh, automotive. So GM?
No. This is a particular kind of vehicle.
Camaro?
It's not Sea-Doo.
Camaro?
It's not hovercraft. No, number 1. The number 1 brand? Jeep.
Jeep
has seen most American. Jeep.
No kidding.
The Jeep.
Huh.
Well, it was a military vehicle before it became a consumer car and everything, so it does have a long American history, especially.
Oscar Mayer.
No, Lisa.
That's a pretty good one, though.
You got 3 left in the top 2.
Lisa's mind immediately goes to wieners.
I'll give you I'll give you number three.
All right.
It was a dead heat tie between Disney.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most American of movie titles, according to this list. And Levi's. Levi Strauss.
Okay.
Clothing company for jeans.
And what's
one,
left?
One left. Number two, which tied Coca-Cola for the number two slot. It is a food stuff.
Is it a chip?
Hot dog. It's not a chip. It is a snack.
Snack.
We're narrowing it down.
It's a really American snack.
It's a
Cracker
very
Jacks.
American snack. No. It is a snack food type thing. You would not eat it for dinner, but you would have it.
Beef jerky.
No. No, this is a brand. You can't just throw out a genre of food.
hamburgers.
bread. it has to be a brand.
All right, a brand.
Okay, I give.
Hershey's. Of course, when you think of chocolate in America, you think of Hershey. Don Draper would tell you that.
You're right.
I grew up in a whorehouse. And whenever I thought of Hershey's, after the whores would give me a nickel for going through the pants of my of the Johns, I would get myself a Hershey.
That's a sweet story.
USA! Real quickly, today's celebrity birthdays. Jaden Smith is 15 years old today. I don't even make it in celebrity birthdays. Sophia Bush, Milo Ventimiglia, Beck, Billy Crudup, Joan Osborne, Toby Keith, Kevin Bacon, Angelica Houston, and Jeffrey Tambor are also all celebrating today on the 8th of July. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
4th of July weekend just passed, and we thought it's time to do what we always like to do after a weekend like this, which is to talk about the holiday gone bad. 4th of July gone bad.
Well, once again, 4th of July, one of those holidays that defines your summer.
Yes.
It's like New Year's Eve is to the winter season. You just say, if I don't have a great 4th of July weekend, then my whole summer is shot, because this is the holiday most people get off, and they're going to party, and they're going to barbecue, and they're going to have fireworks, and they're going to have a great time, and this is going to be the biggest weekend of the summer.
I had a guy tweet me and ask me if I was in Simi Valley this weekend, because he thought that I was responsible for the Simi Valley problem. They had a fireworks show.
I heard.
Where 35 people were hurt.
Oh.
I guess the stage that they had the fireworks on kind of fell partially, and it started shooting right into the crowd.
Yeah, here's the thing about them. They are rockets.
Right.
And if they are pointed at you instead of into the sky, they can be very dangerous.
That's not necessarily good. So we're going to take your calls of 4th of July disasters, especially if it was this year, especially if it was the last couple of, 4 or 5 days, because that's always funny when things go south. I've had my share of mishaps.
Sure.
I mean, I've,
Speaking of rockets, you fired flammables into people's homes.
They're not always controllable.
You fired them at your children. I know your children were endangered many times.
I did light the towel that my child was sitting on fire.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That kind of thing.
I almost, at one point, a friend of mine had me out to, he had a house in Malibu out on the beach, so I brought the fireworks. I was like, I'll bring fireworks, yeah.
Because, Malibu's not known for fires, so it's good to have things that are very combustible.
But I'm an expert.
I forgot you are a pyrotechnic
genius. So I lit one of the rockets, and it turned and came right at us, and we jumped out of the way, and down the beach a little way, it came probably within 6 feet of killing Danny DeVito.
Wow. And that's a small target.
Kevin. But he's a little guy. I mean, how do you hit a guy like that?
You really are. You're a marksman if you can fire a rocket at Danny DeVito and hit him.
Then there was another time we had all the kids together. We said, everybody stay here. This is the safe zone. First rocket right in the middle of them.
Right into the safe zone.
Right into the safe zone. So I've had my problems. I lit my head on fire. That happened.
But that's the opposite of Danny DeVito. How do you not hit your head with a firework? It's such a massive target.
It was like an ember, and it landed right in the middle of my head, and it started burning its way down through my chin, and I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, you cannot afford to lose anything. How brain-wise
dare you?
Your head.
I could lose head size.
You can't lose brain power.
But not brain. So 1-800-520-1067. If you had a 4th of July disaster, you call now, and we'll put you on the air and talk about it. We'll start with Doug, who is calling. Hi, Doug.
Hey, how you guys doing?
You were at the Simi Valley show?
Yes, sir.
Oh, so you witnessed what happened. What went wrong, in your opinion?
Well, we were about 150 yards from the stage. And next thing you know, you hear a huge explosion, and you can feel the heat from the explosion, like, on you.
150 yards away, wow.
Yeah, then the big red firework exploded. We had all the little ambers all over our our blankets, and we covered up the kids. It was crazy.
Mm. Was it like Kevin said? Was it the problem was the stage collapsed and caused the fires to go off, or was there a malfunction?
You know, that's what I heard. That's what we heard later on in the news the next day.
So there were 8,000 to 10,000 people there that were watching. That were all pretty much.
It was packed. Mm. It was packed. It was a huge festivity all day long. You know, jumpers for the kids. There was a bunch of kids, and then it was just widespread panic after that happened. Everyone's running, and it's crazy.
I got to be honest. As long as you're not hurt, widespread panic means you're having a good time.
See,
well, you know what I mean. As long as you're not hurt,
I would disagree.
But I'm saying you didn't get hurt, Ralph.
But other people did, Kevin. How can you take joy in that in that day if other people are getting hurt?
Because
it's not you. It's okay.
It's not a party until there's widespread panic.
See, I would disagree. I would think the absence of panic would actually define a party, in my opinion.
All right.
Here's the thing about fireworks too. I heard a lot of people talking about this. A ton of people watched fireworks this year on television, which just blows my mind.
What?
Macy's in New York Macy's had a massive New York display, apparently, that Usher designed or whatever, and they did build a real big TV special around it, and the culmination, the climax of the special was watching the fireworks from New York.
Who wants to watch that on TV?
3 hours delayed over the skyline was watching fireworks. I said, who watches fireworks on television? How can you appreciate that?
Doug almost got killed. That's and right. Would rather be out there.
Doug was in the
line of fire.
He was in the trenches. That's fireworks right there. It's not fireworks you put your own life in danger.
I'll be closer next year.
You're a great American.
Bring your asbestos.
1-800-520-1067. Something went terribly wrong with your fireworks, especially if it was you.
So that's your fault. Could be anything at a 4th of July
party. 4th of July party,
maybe
right?
You fell into the barbecue.
Sure.
Maybe
got in the fight, got arrested.
Maybe you ended up nude somewhere that you shouldn't have been.
A lot of problems could happen at a 4th of July party. We'll take your calls now. Talking about 4th of July disasters, it seems like the more you put into an actual day, if it's going to be a big, big day, the more you put into it, the more that can go wrong.
Yeah, our listener Esther posted on our Facebook page, on the Kevin Devine Facebook page, I got hit in the boob with an illegal rocket that fell from the sky.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that killed the evening for me, she writes. So, thanks for participating,
Whoever
Esther.
Set that one off had no idea.
You don't want to hurt a boob with a firework. Don't.
You want to protect the boobs.
Unless it's on fire and then you get to pat it out.
Let's talk to Ryan, who has a 4th of July story gone wrong. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Hello.
What happened?
In a drunken night, obviously, we had mortars, and I thought it would be funny or fun to put it on my head and light it, and it went off the wrong way, and I received 12 staples.
Oh, no.
Wait, the mortar was filled with staples?
Wait, that's like a bad idea.
Yeah, it
sounds more like
staples.
An IED. No, so you're saying you put a mortar. Isn't a mortar the one that you light and you drop in a tube and it shoots up into the air?
Yeah, I did it twice. The first time it went off without a hitch, and the second time, I think I put it in upside down. It went down, and I was pouring out blood from my head.
Now, hold on. You put the tube, you strapped the tube to your head in some way?
No, I was holding it on with my hands. Luckily, I didn't lose any fingers.
So you held the tube on top of your head and then put the mortar inside the tube and shot it off your head, but it went the wrong way and went into your skull.
Please tell me.
Yeah.
Please tell me somebody has a cell phone video of that.
I was hoping so, but I guess when it flew, it shot towards everyone, and the person filming dropped her phone.
Coward!
What
She's a
rookie.
Coward.
Right.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Ryan.
Ryan, you shouldn't be calling us today. You really shouldn't. You shouldn't even be alive.
12 staples.
It proves that Darwin was wrong. Apparently it's not survival of the fittest.
I think the alcohol may be the mitigating factor.
There's not
here.
Enough alcohol. There's not enough Jack Daniels in Tennessee to make me put a mortar on my head and fire it off.
That does seem like a bad idea. But alcohol is the great, it makes you think every idea is a great idea, doesn't it, if you drink enough?
I don't think so. Not that idea.
Let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Matt, did alcohol play into your scenario at all?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thought so.
So I was drunk, and I was walking around the campus next to my apartment, the college I go to, and there was guys lighting off fireworks. So I was like, hey, let's go join them. I was drunk enough. I'm a tall guy. I'm about 6'4", and these things were going about 4 feet high. So I figured, hey, I can start jumping over these things.
Good.
Because it's funny.
Yeah, that is funny.
Because it's funny. That's the alcohol talking.
jumping over the fireworks did absolutely nothing to me. Totally fine. But then he had these, like, glorified sparklers that were just shooting light. Didn't do anything. I picked one up, figured I'd run around with it. Blows up in my hand. I couldn't hear on my ear for a day.
Oh, my God. You thought it was a dud and it had already been lit?
No, it wasn't a dud. It was just supposed to be like a sparkler. So, all it did was just shoot out colors. It wasn't supposed to explode or anything, and it went off in my hand. The one that exploded is the one I picked up.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you couldn't hear for a day.
Yeah, one of my ears.
What happened to your hand?
My hand, actually, really nothing. It just tingled a little bit.
Wow.
So that was safe. You could do that again.
Did your parents find you in a rocket ship in Kansas somewhere?
No, they did not.
Fireworks go off in his hand, and he's fine. Oh, just tickled a little bit. And he put on his cape, and he rescued a cat out of a tree.
Time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You can call, leave a message, any topic. Not any topic. Let me take that back.
Mm-hmm. I'm dropping a 2-pound baby brown and thinking about Kevin and Bean.
Gross.
Almost any topic.
Ugh.
To Mexicans, kids are like Lay's potato chips. You can't have just one.
I don't know. Seems kind of weak. You like that?
I kind of do.
All right. Here's a little flashback. I think this call got held up someplace for 15 years.
Hey, I'm driving down the 5 and I was listening to some old podcasts. And can you guys mention again where the Mall of America West is? Because I can't find it.
It's an April Fool's joke about 15 years ago. We made up a Mall of America West. We said it was just off the 5.
Best joke ever.
In Anaheim. And boy, did the Anaheim Chamber of Commerce get mad at us. Woo!
Yeah.
Does this work, Lisa?
Lisa!
Kinda.
What if he follows it up with...
Better beer, man.
Yeah, I'm in. 100%. That's my guy.
Here's the Internet Roundup theme. Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing Kevin and Bean. So that's what we usually play. And we've been kind of thinking, maybe it's time for a new theme. Maybe we need to redo that because it's getting a little old.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a version.
Push that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your spewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing Kevin and Bean. Change the theme song.
So that's a no?
I think he likes it. Speaking of puke.
So I've come to the understanding that the puke thing is never going to go away. It is a constant now in the Kevin and Bean universe. With that in mind, can we at least get rid of the, oh, come on, you were fine. Oh, he totally didn't see this coming. Oh, this is terrible acting by Bean or Kevin or both of us.
Both.
Let's just get rid of that.
You're no fun.
The honest truth is the throw-up thing started, and then we all found it funny, and then we started getting tired of it, but Ralph found it funny. So then he would figure out a way to work it in, and then we were genuinely, like, hoping to get out of it before the throw-up, and then Ralph would be laughing because he'd get into the throw-up, and it was bad acting, but it was also, some of it was real.
Some of it was genuine.
But you're right. Puke is forever. That's true. Lisa, does this work?
Lisa May, I'm 18 years old, but I'm built like a 12-year-old, so come and get it.
I'm going to get back to you on that one.
Built like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Sam, the Armenian comedian, calls all the time. I mean, all the time.
Hey, guys, I didn't die yet. This morning I was blowing my nose. Guess what happened? One of the nerves in my nose got bursted. So it was pouring blood. I had to go to emergency. Fire medics came in. I had to call 911 and all that. So I'm still here.
Okay.
I didn't know about any of that. If we had known
you were almost dead, we would have really celebrated. But would you call the paramedics if your nose was bleeding?
No.
I don't think so either.
Put a Kleenex in it.
And can you imagine listening to Sam trying to explain to them what's going on? Oh, good. Oh, good. Sam called back.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's the only person that still plays the recorder. Sam?
Hello.
Hello.
When did the great nose disaster happen?
Two weeks ago.
I was blowing my nose in the morning, and it just...
Right, we got it. And then the blood vessel burst. We got that. And then you called 911. Did they understand what you were saying?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I may speak English, but English Oxford style.
You speak English Oxford style?
Yes.
That's the funniest thing you've ever said. Now, Sam, what's this internet radio show that I'm being told about? What is it that you're doing? You have some kind of a project that you're working on?
Yeah, City Out of Light. It's Boston. They want me to go there. They love me. They're just raising money now, and I'm asking if you guys can raise money for my trip also.
Wait, if we raise money, you'll leave Los Angeles?
To the Boston, Massachusetts. They want me to go over there to many shows.
Well, why don't they just pay for it?
They're raising money.
They're raising.
They are not ready. It's on, I think it's in the internet radio show.
Well, if it's an internet radio show, why can't you just do it from home?
Good question.
Because the internet is actually both here and in Boston.
No. I'm going to concert with my band.
Oh, there is an internet radio show that wants you to perform.
Everywhere, yes.
I see. I thought you were talking about moving to Boston so that you could do a full-time internet radio show.
No.
Oh, we're not going to help with that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51. We have Jim Rash and Nat Faxon, I apologize, from The Way, Way Back, which is a brand-new movie you may not have heard of, which is great.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this film.
That we're going to talk about coming up in a second. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
This is my theory about motion pictures.
Right?
If you would just put Sam Rockwell in every movie, it would automatically become 17% better.
He's so great in this.
He's so great in everything.
In everything, yeah. But
I understand why he's not the biggest movie star in the world, because every time I see him in a film, I'm like, this guy is just unbeatable. Can do drama, can do comedy, you name it. The guy's just a talent.
He does comedy in this one, and he is fantastic.
I can't wait to see this film. I'm jealous that you've seen it before me. Steve Carell playing against type, sort of being a dick in this film.
Yep.
Boy, it just looks really good. So we'll talk to those guys who created it in just mere moments. I want to give you a heads up. It's going to be a very special week here in the Showbiz Beat because it's my lead up to Comic-Con.
Oh.
You know how I feel about the Comic-Con.
You and me
both. You can take your 4th of July and stick it right you know where. Just F you 4th of July.
Right.
What I'm talking about is the real holiday of the summer season, which, of course, is Comic-Con, which is coming up next week. And people always say, oh, you can't get tickets. They're all sold out.
Sold out since last year.
Suck it up. And more importantly, listen to the Showbiz Beat all week long, because I will be giving away, what? That's right, passes to the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yay!
A pair of one-day passes I'll be giving away.
But, Ralph, I thought it was sold out.
It is for you regular people. Huh. But not for the king of Comic-Con.
You are the king. That's true.
I am a busy man that time of year. So I'm not giving them out now. I'm just giving you a heads up. Maybe
what?
Maybe next hour. Maybe next hour in the Showbiz Beat,
this
I'll give them
away.
This
is just a tease?
I just want to let people know that they're going to be the right. I'm just... I got my hand on the faucet.
Okay.
I just haven't turned the knob yet. But soon, tickets
so
will
everybody
be flowing,
calling
flowing like water.
So everybody calling that thought you were giving them away
right nothing.
Now.
You get nothing.
Nothing.
Good day, sir. You get nothing. You're still fizzy lifting drinks.
K-Rock, hello.
No tickets right now for the Comic-Con?
You get nothing.
Sorry.
You get nothing.
God. That was just a Ralph tease. Sorry to waste your time.
I was just giving the heads up that I'm going to be giving them out. Probably in the next hour. I just wanted to wake you up. I just wanted to get your attention.
She's like, yes, Comic. Oh.
Oh. Yeah. So.
We're going to be broadcasting from there Thursday and Friday.
I know. You guys finally.
We've been doing it the whole time. You're finally on board.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
That's what it is. I'm riding your coattails to Comic-Con.
Right.
I just got some merch. I don't want to spend the whole hour talking about Comic-Con.
Just got some merch.
But they sent me a little teaser box of some of the exclusive merchandise that you can only get at the Comic-Con. And a lot of the companies, the toy companies especially, will do this. Go with some of the exclusive for Comic-Con that you can only get there. You can't get anyplace else.
That's why they hand you a bag that's big enough to hold an entire person to carry around.
Mattel. This year is debuting their line of classic 1966 Batman memorabilia. at the con.
Did they do that just for you?
No. People have been dying waiting for this stuff to finally be released. And Mattel gave me a little something-something. They gave me Adam West, the Batman figure.
No kidding.
Penguin. Riddler. And Batman doing the Bat-toosie.
Really?
That dance he does, where he does with his fingers over his eyes.
Game.
Very exciting. That's all going to be available at the con this year. So it's just the greatest time of year. That's all. And for everyone who called in looking for tickets.
Sorry about that.
I was just trying to give you a heads up. I didn't realize you'd be so crazy. All right, let's talk about the box office over the weekend. We do this every Monday morning, give you an idea what people went to see at the movie theaters. Despicable Me 2, apparently. A lot of people went to see that. People love Gru.
They do.
$82.5 million is what it made. And this film also starred Steve Carell. So if logic dictates, then The Way, Way Back will also make $82 million. And it's the widest opening
weekend. It goes wider, yeah.
Yeah. The Lone Ranger did not fare as well as expected, certainly by me. And I saw it and I really liked it.
I did too.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
I did too.
But people stayed away in droves. Made just $30 million.
Johnny Depp is funny and
so funny.
Charismatic. He's great.
And while you're watching it, with that makeup on and everything, didn't you say he was like a great silent film comedian? I mean, he does so much with his face. He doesn't have a lot of dialogue.
Face, eyes, everything.
And just his physical performance, I thought, was really fun.
His face and his eyes,
Both of those.
Both of those.
Luckily for him, his eyes are also right there on his face, so he was able to keep it all in that region.
It's hard to keep it all together.
Yeah. The Heat was third. Monsters University and World War Z were the top five movies at the box office. White House Down was sixth. Man of Steel, seventh. Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain. That's his new comedy concert film. That made $10 million. It made it number eight at the box office this weekend. This is the end, and now you see me rounding out the top ten at the box office. 4th of July weekend, of course, was just this past weekend. We celebrated our freedom in this great country, and no one celebrated more than Neil Diamond. I don't know if you heard it or not over the holiday weekend, but Neil finally released his big freedom song that he's been teasing us with.
I am not a Neil Diamond fan.
He wrote this specifically as a fundraising effort to the people of Boston in the wake of the Boston Marathon bombing. He was moved by his reception he got there at Fenway Park when he went there to sing Sweet Caroline right after the bombings, and he said, I'm going to write these people a song, and he wrote a song called Freedom. They'll never take us down. And he promised he was going to debut it over the 4th of July weekend, and he did. And I'll tell you, boy, it was worth the wait.
Kill the head on the spear. Kill the nail on the cross.
His voice is going down.
Kill the fly in my beer.
That is not Neil Diamond. That was Tom Waits.
They'll never take us down, though some may try. We're going to stand our ground. It's do or die. The freedom that we found.
And other cliches.
And they can never take us down. Oh no, our freedom is why.
That's right.
He sounds like
because of our freedom.
He sounds like he's doing an impression of somebody who's doing an impression of him.
They hate us because of our freedom.
They'll never take us down.
That's really
we'll take them to Chinatown. They'll never take us down, though some may try. We're gonna stand our ground.
Yeah.
It's do or die.
Die.
The freedom that we found.
Yeah.
Can't be denied. And they can never take us down. Oh no. Our freedom is why. Never take us down.
It's
turn your smile into a frown. Bye. Chuck steak by the pound.
It's good that he gave his granddaughter something to do, write the lyrics to that song. What a piece of crap.
His songwriting talent, I think, has diminished.
Just a bit.
Since, like, Forever in Blue Jeans.
Zero for effort.
Oh, come on.
Zero for star.
Simon.
Zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
The man's a legend, Simon. Please. What would you know about freedom anyway, you... Limey bastard. No freedom in that country under your Ayatollah Elizabeth. That's who they have, the Ayatollah Elizabeth.
I don't think that's
the
case.
She rules that nation with a steel hand. Everyone's in stocks. You ever see that? People in stocks in England?
I don't think that's accurate.
You don't know, man.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jaden Smith is 15 years old. You know what? Let's just cross him right
now.
Yeah,
right cross him. Good idea.
Birthday list. Why do I keep mentioning him amongst people who have actually done something? Although Jaden did give us that rap.
It's the coolest of the coolest, it's the smoothest of the smoothest, it's the crudest and the rudest of the stupid kids. Mr. Vicious with his missus blowing kisses to his mistress and his missus blowing riches like some coolest. I wasn't tripping, I just listened to these women when they sipping on them juices. They see dating and he's too legit. And I be flipping cause they slipping and they dipping in the pool and saying pulling, they be drooling cause I'm stupid.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know this, but Neil Diamond wrote that rap.
Is that right?
Yes, wrote the lyrics for that.
And the sipping and the tripping and the lipping and the kipping and the hipping and the sipping and the hipping here. They'll never take us down, though some may try. We're gonna stand our ground. It's do or die. The freedom that we found. Can be denied, and they can never take us down.
Freedom's wide.
Never take us down.
That's terrible.
Sophia Bush is 31 years old today. Singer Bex, 43. Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes is 36 years old. He's also played Rocky's son in the last Rocky movie, Rocky Balboa. You remember that?
No.
He was Rocky's kid.
That was a long time ago.
Doesn't matter how many times life gets you down. How many times you get up?
You're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
I'm just saying Rocky Balboa wasn't your finest work.
No, that's true.
Billy Crudup is 45 years old. Joan Osborne's 51. Andy Fletcher of Depeche Mode, keyboardist for that band, is 52. Toby Keith is 53. I'm surprised he didn't write that Freedom song.
Yeah, no kidding.
Very Toby Keith-esque. Although he would have mentioned more about sticking a boot up foreigners' asses had Toby written that. Kevin Bacon's 55. Angelica Houston, 62 years old. And Jeffrey Tambor. How funny is that guy? 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So yesterday, my wife says to me, she says, I want to go see a movie. And I says to her, I says, what? Because she picks generally good movies and I pick bad movies. I like explosions and I like special effects and I like loud. And she says, I want to see The Way, Way Back. And I said, never heard of it. Even though
you guys are on the schedule and we've been talking about it for a week.
That's why I stayed silent for a second.
Even though we did vote on having you guys in for this movie, I said to my wife, I have no idea what that is. And she said, it's getting great reviews. And I thought, you know, I make her see a lot of crap. So I'm just going to go with her to whatever this is, this Way, Way Back. And I'll do it.
It's implied.
Yeah, the ellipses felt horrible in there.
Look, you gotta,
the end of that sentence sounded like, wow, it's really going
because it's up. It's not open wide yet, so we had to drive down to Hollywood. And I was like,
Hollywood.
So far.
Watch The Way, Way Back starring Steve Carell and Toni Collette and Allison Janney and Sam Rockwell. And
a crappy cast. No wonder you were so worried.
I didn't know any of that.
Oh. Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was really great.
Oh, thank you.
It was very, very good movie. I'd never admitted that to my wife, of course, but what a great movie that was. Tell me about, you guys are the ones that made it, right?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Jim Rash, Nat Faxon.
Getting a track record going.
Yeah, you are.
We're trying. We're doing what we can, despite what we're working with.
Yeah.
Which one of you? Where did this come from? One of your pasts? One of your backgrounds?
It's a little bit of a few things, but yes, the very first scene of the movie, and for those who've at least seen the trailer, you get a hint of it. Steve Carell's character in the trailer in the very beginning of the movie asks our lead Liam James, who plays Duncan,
14 year old boy,
what he thinks he is on a scale from 1 to 10.
And by the way, let me just interject here and say, don't answer that.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have to. Ever. Yes. That question is a setup for failure.
I know. Right. If someone asks you, they're probably going
to
go,
where are you on 1 to 10? Yeah, I would say 12 just to get out of actually answering it.
Yeah. And so he does. The kid says 6, and then he says, you're a 3 to me. And I'm going to explain
Carell,
why.
Who, Steve by Carell. The way, he plays a dick.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah. He's very against type for him.
Yes.
You know, I think people will be very impressed and shocked at the same time. But that conversation happened to me when I was 14.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody's... In a station wagon.
You couldn't escape.
Because that's where bad conversations happen, I guess. But in a station wagon, I was 14 on the way to our summer vacation with my stepfather at the time. Uh-huh. And we had that sort of verbatim moment.
Did you say 6? Because really?
Yes.
I know. I still can't believe he went as high as 6.
No.
No, I think it shocks
me.
No,
that's absolutely fair.
I'm thinking that you're undershooting a bit because you want to think of yourself as a 7 or 8, but you're not going to be cocky, so you come in at 6.
I don't know. My 14-year-old brain just said this seems like it's
not a trap.
It's like, you know, it's a nice place to be. I'm just above average, but I'm not too.
But
you know,
still,
too cocky
sort
yet.
Of average.
Yeah,
right. Said yeah. No.
Come on. Yeah,
on the upper end of average.
Upper end of average, and maybe I thought of a bunch of people in my high school and tried to just place myself or junior high.
And your stepdad said 3?
Yeah, he said I was a 3.
Holy crap.
And he went on to explain pretty much what Carell's sort of character says is that we went to this same place. I'm from North Carolina. We would always go up to Michigan every summer to the lake. And he'd say, there's so many opportunities at the lake and there are kids and all these things and you hang around the lake house. That kind of speech is what I got after that, which is close to what –
You still haven't totally learned that lesson.
No, either. No. I stay in my house. I'm afraid of water. So, yeah. So, you know, I'm climbing that scale. But that coupled with the fact that we both grew up on the East Coast and we had those sort of destination vacations where we went to the same place every year with that community of people.
And everybody seems miserable.
Yeah.
Everybody except for Alice and Janney's character, who's basically drunk when we meet
her.
Well,
she's got some, she's got some libations. she's coping.
She's drinking away her problems.
Yeah.
She's thrilled, but everybody around her is not quite as thrilled as she is.
But those things all sort of came together to create the idea for the screenplay.
Now, how do you get this cast of characters? How do you get Steve Carell? Do you just show it to him and say, do you think you'd like it?
It's so easy now. That's all you have to do in Hollywood is knock on their door and then show them the screen.
They don't even read it. They just look at the outside of it and go,
that's
looks
right.
legit.
Yeah.
Steve-O, what's up, bud?
What's up, buddy?
No, because Steve Carell could do anything.
Yes.
And this is a pretty low-profile movie as far as I know. I pay attention to trailers and stuff like that. Clearly not enough.
Yeah.
But it's not – doesn't have the push of a you know, Lone Ranger or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, no. We had written this script 8 years ago, and it went through the sort of classic ups and downs of almost happening and not happening. And then a few years ago, we got the script back in our hands, and it was at that point we decided to direct it. And we sort of sat down and with our producer, Kevin Walsh, and we just said, let's go after the people that we kind of always have admired and loved and who are very good people in general. And
but
we
that's
just wrote
where it,
letters.
I isn't mean, that where it usually ends, though? I mean, usually don't you then try and contact somebody who tries and contact
you? Yes, and it doesn't work.
Right.
And you know, you go through, you sort of have, we did a dual approach where you go through their people, you know, and then we also wrote personal letters and really tried to get any way in. And we wrote a very, you know, long letter to Carell, and he actually wrote a really nice letter back to us saying that while he loved the script and loved the material, he, you know, that was the time he sort of goes on vacation with his family and he didn't want to, you know, be away from them. And then we tried to write another nice letter back and said, what if we shot near where you vacation? And that was enough
was
to get
it.
Him to do it. Yeah,
and we should say that these were handwritten with a wax seal. Yeah. I mean, this was old school.
And really good card stuff.
Calligraphy?
I mean,
this was calligraphy, yes, with a quill pen. I mean, this was old school.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, Carell did the exact same thing. So.
I love that.
You didn't
I love that they just said, no social media for this campaign.
But having the Descendants in your back pocket is a nice calling card now.
No, we took a picture of the Oscar and sent it with the letter.
Hanging around your neck.
That was a Polaroid.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Again,
just
old
in case
school.
You didn't know who we were.
It was actually a disc camera. If you remember those?
Don't.
Oh, no. I just dated myself.
That's embarrassing.
Now, was Steve Carell the first on, or did you have a bunch of other people involved?
Carell was actually the last piece.
The last piece.
The very first piece, I think, we know and knew Alice and Janney in social circles, and we sort of wrote the part of Betty with her in mind. So I guess she was probably first. Anna Sophia Robb was someone we had sort of over our little 8-year journey already been speaking about, and then Sam Rockwell, and then it's just sort of one
Sam
of those
Rockwell
things.
Is a
he's fantastic.
Genius.
Yeah.
Why is he not the biggest movie star in the world?
He very well should be, and it's like, you know, hopefully, I mean. He can do no wrong, and he
plays
also
the manager of this water park, and he's just genius.
He is great in everything.
Funny and self-deprecating. Everything he says is the way he talks is the way you wish you could talk.
Yes. He very charismatic. And he is in person. I mean, you think he plays all these sort of villains and sort of interesting sort of off-kilter characters.
Right.
And this guy is a little bit more like a Bill Murray Meatballs type, you know, sort of fast-paced, you know, extrovert, charismatic and all these things. And he's very much, you know, very approachable in person and loving and it just feels like that type of guy that you're just like, oh, I think we're friends already. You know, like he's very, are we best friends? Yeah. Please.
I didn't realize we were friends yet, but I guess we already are.
But we already are.
No, but I think that getting those people, you know, Allison and Sam, and then it almost feeds itself in a way because I think people want to work with great actors. And so
then they say, who's directing?
Yeah. And then they take off.
Where the bottom fell out.
And then do you lie?
Yes.
That's where the bottom fell out. Yeah. We said, actually, it's going to be Spielberg, Alexander Payne.
all want to work together.
And us.
In theory.
Yeah. It's called The Way, Way Back. If you haven't heard of it, please look up the trailer. It's fantastic. It opened in...
this weekend and just
this past weekend in limited release,
and then it'll be 13 more this weekend.
This weekend, fantastic! It's a great, great movie and a great summer movie, and it's good for the whole family.
Yeah,
it's hard to find movies like that. We'll be right back. We have Jim Rash and Nat Faxon in the studios. We'll be right back. Jim Rash is with us. Nat Faxon is with us. The name of the movie is The Way, Way Back. What's it like to start a how much was the budget? Can we talk about
just
under $5 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the Lone Ranger earlier today, which is over $200 million. What's the process with a $5 million movie? Is it everything cut down to the minimum, or
it really comes? Well, one of the big things is coming down to how many days you have to shoot, because you know each day has obviously got a monetary value. So
you shoot this in an hour and a half?
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
So
it's a one act play.
Just if you, it's a million every 20 minutes. I'm not quite sure, and my math just went terrible. But quick math. But you know, we shot this in 24 days, and we ended up actually dipping into our own pocket to buy a 25th day
so we can
finish our movie.
Because that'd be a bummer otherwise.
It would be a huge bummer.
Not finished. Sorry, guys. But it does. I mean, obviously, it's the pressure, time.
Do you have to talk the actors and actresses into, you know, Steve Carell doesn't get Steve Carell money?
No. They know that, too.
Are they cool with that? Like, what's the...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because it's a departure for them. It's a chance for them to maybe, like Carell and even Sam Rockwell, to play different characters. And I think they're, you know, they go into it knowing sort of that this is going to be a collaboration and a creative thing. And the deals are structured sort of in the sense of, we can't pay you what you normally would get up front, but in success, you know, we can get creative on the back end.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And so, you know, it's...
You don't get a trailer, but we do have an outhouse.
Yes.
That kind of thing?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Or we all share.
What do you mean by the back end?
Or you get an outhouse,
the back
and
end,
if it
right.
does well, we'll take you to a pool house.
Good.
You know, it's like one of those things.
I like it. We'll step it up as it goes. Who plays the 14-year-old boy? He's great.
Oh, it's amazing.
This kid, Liam James, who flew himself down from Vancouver to audition for us. And, there was obviously anxiety and trepidation going into casting the part because he is on every single page and in every frame of the movie.
He's the kid who the story's about.
Yeah. And you sort of think, like, you hear those stories of other, like, kid actors in movies, and they're like, we found him in a mall in Iowa, and we just knew he was the kid.
Working
at
Hot Dog on a Stick.
Yeah, exactly. So we didn't have the luxury of doing that. So we had a casting session in L.A., and he flew himself down and just was the kid. I mean, he came in, and a lot of kids come in, and they're very polished and rehearsed, and, you know, so they come in, and they sort of have three names, and they own the room, you know?
Right.
And
I like that they have to have three names. Hi, I'm Dallas Washington-based.
They do! Why do they always do?
And he went with the city and state, or a possible city.
But this character is just uncomfortable and seething, angry, but doesn't really let it out much.
That's what 14-year-old boys, I mean, you know, the only emotion you really have at that moment or that you understand is anger, you know? So everything sort of comes out that way, at least as I remember.
Especially if mom's dating a dick.
Yes. Especially if you, I mean, you know, there's obviously a lot of themes about blended families and, you know, it's children. There are a number of characters in this who are dealing with, you know, new parents, you know, parents of divorce. And so that's sort of a running theme with a lot of the characters here in transition and stuff. So
how'd you feel about opening a $5 million movie over the 4th of July weekend?
Oh, what is that level of stress we were at?
Let's see, we're going up against something. Despicable Me.
Yeah.
And The Lone Ranger.
Yeah. Yeah. And amid also, there was another, there were small movies debuting, I think, as well. So yeah. it was a busy time.
Did you call the studio and go, what? Are you giving up?
I think we just Are you giving up?
Have you quit on us?
No, I think we Fox Searchlight, this is sort of the they just know this game in the sense that they know how to like slowly showcase a movie and let have a slow build because it is. It's like eight cities and we'll add some more each weekend and we'd be wide by July 26th.
Okay, so you'll be wide by the end of this month.
Yeah,
by the end
yeah.
of this
so
month.
You get right. to have word of mouth.
Yes.
So it starts to build.
Yeah.
And for a movie like yours, that makes a lot of sense.
It does. Yeah. I think that counter-programming is what they're sort of going, you know, yeah. they're going for is people that may get tired of seeing, you know, this huge yeah. smash up, you know, not you, of course.
Yeah. No, we get it. But, no, but also, you know, Nat and I are play small parts in it, and we're an acquired taste. So it's great. It's great to, you know, just a little smidget because you don't want to, like, throw our faces out there too fast and turn them off.
Now, you guys are doing a Q&A session, I see, after some of the screenings.
We're going to we did some in New York over opening weekend, and we're going to do some in L.A. this weekend. So
Friday at the AMC Century City after the 5 p.m. showing, and then the Landmark in Westwood after the 7 p.m. showing, and then Saturday, the ArcLight Sherman Oaks after the 5 p.m. showing and the ArcLight Hollywood after the 7 p.m. showing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. You get to ask the guys who wrote it and directed it.
Yeah. It's fun to do. You know, it's great to sort of get out there and sort of, again, we did a whole month of this, you know, where we took the movie around to different cities and did screenings and did Q&As, you know, and it was a great way just to sort of Great word of mouth.
Is it a bummer to hear someone like me say that I'm not aware of it?
I'll be honest with you. I was like, I've never. Sorry.
I just wanted to step
because
in.
We booked you on the show.
Just because I'm livid right now and I'm barely holding on.
Yeah. I was going to say, it was like, I
don't mean that to be insulting. I'm just saying it's tough to get your message through.
Yeah.
It is. And I think that's what, you know, why we have so much trust and faith in Fox Searchlight because they do know how to sort of create this swell and this word of mouth. And I think that's how this movie will succeed is that people seeing it and being surprised by it maybe and then telling friends to go see it. You know, that's the hope.
Well, I tweeted a trailer to it, and I'd like everybody else to retweet that.
Nice.
Just to get the word out, because this is a really great movie.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
And it seems like it's starting under the wire because it's such a small budget thing, but it's better than most big budget movies.
Thank you.
For the whole family as well. So, Jim Rash, Nat Faxon, thank you much for coming in. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And best of luck going forward.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:41. On the way, we have Anthony Jeselnik talking about the Jeselnik Offensive, which is a show on Comedy Central that is awesome and super offensive.
Yes,
and that's why we love it. So he's going to be here in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, we're going to talk about former Dodger Manny Ramirez, who has been traveling the world lately. He seems to play about a month each location and then moves on. I don't know what's happening with that, but he was playing in Taiwan for a while.
Okay.
Now he has signed with the Texas Rangers. They're a AAA club.
Really?
So I guess if you do well enough there, they move you up, and he's hoping to get back to the major leagues. We thought it would be a good time to check in with Manny Ramirez. Hey, Manny, how are you?
All right, Manny Ramirez. I love you, home runs, big fan of everybody. All right. I have a horn.
Yes, you do.
Now, Manny, so you're back in the United States.
Nope.
Are you playing for the Texas Rangers?
What? I love Chuck Norris. Walker, Texas Ranger used to come on TV. I watched Walker, Texas Ranger. Chuck Norris go around town. Hi-ya!
You're playing for the Texas Rangers, the AAA club.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
I eat my boogers.
Oh, God!
I love it. Sometimes I sit there and just look at my booger. I say, where did you come from, my friend?
Look,
big. Manny Ramirez don't remember put anything in my nose, but big booger come out. All right, I have a horn.
Manny, people are trying to eat right now. Maybe that less of that
I'm
talk.
I'm trying to eat my boogers.
Okay, we got that.
Okay.
We got that.
Hey, now, Lisa May.
Yes.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I think I'm already grown up.
All right. I want to be James Vanderbeek.
I don't.
You want to be James Vanderbeek?
That's right. I love Dawson's Creek. I don't want to wait for my life to be over. Hey, Joey. Hey, Dawson. Dawson, why are your head so big? I don't know. Why are you married Scientologist? Who's gay? All right. There's my horn. Who's playing my horn? Who is that?
Manny.
Is that Beer Mug? Hey, Beer Mug.
Hey, Manny.
I love Beer Mug. Beer Mug.
Hey.
You like bananas, Beer Mug?
Yeah, I'll eat them sometimes.
Oh, you know when bananas get old, they turn brown.
Yeah, that's when they're bad. You don't eat them then.
Old banana look like Manny's pee-pee.
Oh, God.
It's long. It's brown.
Come on.
It's brown. It's true. Hey, pretty lady.
Yes.
You want my banana?
No, thank
Open
you.
Open wide.
Good.
All right. All right.
So, Manny, no thoughts on the baseball career, huh? You're...
Huh?
Are you still playing baseball? Is this report accurate?
There's two shotguns and a box of Kung Pao shrimp in my trunk.
Why do you have two shotguns in your trunk?
Oh, it's a long story. But sometimes I dress up my wife in a bear suit and she pushed me on a swing set. I love my swings. Hooray. Manny have swing. Manny have a horn.
All right, Manny. I don't feel like we're getting anywhere with this conversation.
All right. Kill Whitey.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. What?
That's right. You heard me. The audience didn't hear me because my microphone wasn't on, but you heard me. Sell your sausage somewhere else.
That's I don't know what that means. That's a bad catchphrase.
Well, it isn't because whatever it means, you get it. You know.
Sell your sausage.
You sell your sausage somewhere else. Okay. Come on. You say it to somebody, they're like, damn, I better get out of here. Wow. This guy's right. Serious.
He means something by that. All right. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Yeah, I'm serious. Sell your sausage somewhere else.
I'm
I promised
sure
you
catch on.
Last hour, boys and girls, that I would have passes to the San Diego Comic-Con. And I'm a man of my word, if nothing else. It's coming up July 18th through the 21st in, of all places, San Diego. Which, what a coincidence
that is
the
bizarre.
San Diego Comic-Con would end up in San Diego. It just worked out so well. I do have a pair of one-day passes to Comic-Con. Now, I would like to give you passes to all 3 days of the Comic-Con, but I can't do that because it's impossible. It's just impossible to get to. You should be happy you're getting one day. Sell your sausage somewhere else.
It does work,
See,
actually.
It works.
Yeah, hi, this is David.
Hey, Dave.
Listen, up, Dave? I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Well, you don't come down here. It's a phone deal.
So this is a 3 to 4 day event, Ralph.
Wait, you think they make it up on the spot? You think they say, well,
see how far we want to go.
Days. Let's add another day. Everyone's having a good time.
Well, we're giving away a day.
It's a 3 day event. It's Friday, Saturday,
okay.
Sunday.
Which day are we giving them?
One of those days.
Right. Friday
yes,
or
exactly.
Saturday or Sunday.
My point exactly. Yes. So if you'd like to attend at least for a day, you get
yeah,
to spend.
Yeah, but where can Hasselhoff. I get them? I mean,
I'm going to give
where
it away
is,
now.
Is there
But I don't want to give them just to anybody.
Of course not. They got to earn a one-day pass.
You make it sound like it's nothing.
No, it is. It is great.
You try to get a one-day pass. Try it right now.
It is great.
Then sell your sausage somewhere else. It is great, and I want to give them to somebody who really will appreciate it. So I want to give it to like an old-school Comic-Con fan. And so here's your trivia question. If you know the answer, call in 1-800-520-1067. I've got one pair of passes for one day to give away. So only one caller will win.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
Look, yeah, just go down there.
Hasselhoff, isn't there a Baywatch panel or something that you're attending that you can get tickets through? Here's the trivia question. San Diego Comic-Con's been around for a long time.
Yes. True.
That's not the question. Give me the first year of the San Diego Comic-Con. Very first year of San Diego Comic-Con.
Google.
I will give you a hint. It was known as the Golden State Comic-Con.
That's a dumb name. It's a good choice.
The California is the Golden State. It's not that
I
dumb
know,
a name.
I get it.
It's not as in punto as as San Diego, but, you know.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
Listen, Hasselhoff, sell your sausage somewhere else.
It's starting to grow on me.
Yeah, see? 1-800-520-1067. The first year of the Comic-Con. If you know the answer, you will attend
for a day.
And we'll be down there Thursday, Friday.
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday.
That's right.
So 3 or 4 days, whatever it lasts, we'll be there. I think Thursday is still preview day, as it's known in the business.
Ah.
Where they open up the floor to vendors and to VIPs and stuff, and you get a chance to look around before it gets too sweaty.
And it does get sweaty.
And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, of course, is the big. I guess it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, really. Because Sunday, I don't know if there's much going on there.
Yeah.
Maybe it is 4 days. Maybe you're right, Kevin.
Thank you. You don't know everything.
19, 20, 21. It is 4 days.
Thank you. Yeah,
now that I do the math. It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert? You know,
it's a long way away because it's in San Diego.
That's so a hell of a
if
walk.
You're staying at the Palm Desert Marriott, you would have to catch some sort of shuttle bus, I think, in order to attend the San Diego Comic Con. I don't know if they run the shuttle there from Palm Springs or not.
Try it.
Top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Despicable Me 2 did very well for itself. If you count in the screenings Wednesday through the holiday up to and including yesterday, $140 million. 5 day total. Just the weekend, $83 million. Pretty strong. The Lone Ranger, a huge disappointment for Disney and for Lone Ranger fans alike. Only made all total around $50 million, but
I thought that was
$30 million this weekend. I really enjoyed it, too. I read an interesting article just moments ago saying that they believe it's the content, it's the character, it's the Lone Ranger. No one cares about the Lone Ranger, that even Johnny Depp couldn't get people in to see that character because no one cares.
Could see that.
The Heat was third. Monsters University, World War Z, White House Down, Man of Steel, Kevin Hart in his new comedy concert film, Let Me Explain. It was eighth, This Is the End, and Now You See Me, right?
And when did it get the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 4 day. 3 or 4 days, depending. They might call it early.
I accept your apology.
Well, it wasn't like you said, it's a 4 day festival, Ravo. You came at me with like definitive answers. You're like, it's a 3 or 4 day festival.
I wasn't sure.
It sounded like there might be a rain delay or something to throw in an extra day in. Since we're talking about the con, look who our winner is.
How about that? A dude named Elizabeth.
A lovely lady named Elizabeth. Elizabeth?
Hi.
Hi there. Are you a comic book fan?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Kevin.
Hold on.
Kevin and Bean always say, only dudes like the geek stuff that you like, Ralph. And here's a lovely lady who's a geek.
Did your boyfriend slash husband slash son give you the answer?
No.
Good for you.
So.
good for you, Elizabeth. What was the first year of the con?
1970.
It's been going on for a long time.
Elizabeth is six, by the way. Have you heard her voice?
Elizabeth,
I'm sorry.
Are you in preschool?
No, sir. I'm a college student.
You're a college student. See?
Must be a smart one.
She's like Doogie Howser. She's like a Doogie Howser college student. Well, Elizabeth, congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you are going to one day of the con. We're not sure which one it is yet, but you'll be there.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Thank you. And we'll be broadcasting from down there. So when you come on down, come and see us. If it's one of the days that you're attending, we'll see you there.
I certainly will. I'll give you guys the biggest hug ever.
Yes, come by and give us hugs. All right, hold on. We're going to give you a little details, Elizabeth. She is a young lady. Couldn't be more excited. Because women are geeks too, Kevin.
I've been there, Ralph.
You don't know, man.
There's a lot of sausage to sell somewhere else.
Sausage somewhere else. What about the girls who do the cosplay? Show up dressed up in the wacky outfits and things like that?
That's all good.
It's like Halloween. It's like geek Halloween.
That is
there.
Geek Halloween.
Today's celebrity birthday, Sophia Bush is 31 years old today. Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes and from Rocky Balboa, 36 years old. Beck turns 43. I got him some birthday gifts. I got him two turntables and a microphone.
Oh, do you think, got that.
What?
Yes.
I thought it would be the perfect gift.
Nope.
Oh, I hope I saved the receipt.
He's already got it.
Billy Crudup is 45 years old. Singer Joan Osborne is 51. Andy Fletcher, keyboardist for Depeche Mode, is 52. Toby Keith turns 53 years old today. Kevin Bacon's 55. Angelica Houston, 62. And Jeffrey Tambor currently can be seen in Arrested Development over there on Netflix. He is 69. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Welcome to the studios of K-Rock, Anthony Jeselnik. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
Great, guys. Thanks for having me back.
How long have you been here?
I think a little over an hour.
Over an hour?
I got here early, yeah.
Why? Did you have the wrong time?
No, I had the right time.
Okay.
My publicist, I think, is insane.
Okay.
And booked a car to pick me up like an hour and a half before I was supposed to be here. And I thought they must know something I don't.
From where? From Hollywood?
I live at Hollywood and Vine-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. I got here about 15
minutes. 10 minutes away.
Yeah, literally 10 minutes away. And I've just been sitting here cursing my publicist.
Getting
and
mad.
Now publicly.
Well, that sort of sucks. But what are you going to do?
Nothing.
You either have to be really early or really late in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So season 2 comes back tomorrow night.
Yeah.
How great is that?
I'm very excited about that.
When did you find out?
I found out, I think it was funny, they kind of like dangled it and then took it away.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, and then they brought it back. It was, we kind of knew we were going to come back. It was a question of when.
Uh-huh.
So we were waiting on that, and then I got in some trouble with them, with Comedy Central, and then it was like, uh-oh, am I going to get a season 2? And then,
can you tell us what trouble you got in?
I tweeted a joke about the Boston Marathon.
Oh, yeah.
The day of the Boston Marathon.
The day of.
Yeah. That's kind of my thing.
Right. They know that. That your show is called Offensive. Offensive is in the title of your show.
Yeah. And I thought, too, I was like, oh, it's Twitter. It's my Twitter. It's not Comedy Central. They can't get mad.
And you're so wrong about that.
They got mad.
Yeah.
They got really mad.
Looking back on it, would you have done it still the same way? That's kind of you.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
Like, you do pick the most offensive
situation. And I thought the joke was pretty defensible. You know, it wasn't like I was being a jerk that day. I was just, let me try to make people laugh on this day. This is what I do. You don't need me to say, oh, here's my thoughts and prayers. You know, that's beyond worthless.
Right.
And I'm a comedian.
Right.
So I did it, and I thought this is okay.
You mind telling us what it was?
Yeah, not at all. And it's totally arable. I just said, guys, today there are just some lines that should not be crossed, especially the finish line.
And
people kept saying, like, don't cross the line, don't do that.
Right,
and I thought, well,
tie that in.
This is a fun play on words.
Right.
And it got bad. It was
and
bad
how did you hear
days.
From Comedy Central?
I heard from them almost
they
immediately.
They call you and say, what are you doing?
There was, like, some emails. No one tells me. They never want to. And Comedy Central, I don't want to sound like I'm bad-mouthing them. They let me get away with
away with craziness. Yeah.
Yeah. But they never want to give me notes. They give notes to anyone else they can besides me and let that person tell me. So I would hear from different people throughout the day.
Do they think you'll respond poorly to their notes?
Oh, yeah.
Are they afraid of you?
Yeah, I don't.
You did a top 3 things we can't talk about that they have told me repeatedly.
Yeah, that was a giant F you to Comedy Central.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
But I like the people that I work with at Comedy Central. They're great to me. They let me get away with a lot. But I hate authority.
Of course.
And I got into comedy so I would never have a boss.
Mm.
And now I've got a bunch of different bosses. And they'll be like, wait, who's this person giving me a note?
Right.
Oh, they're the what?
Right.
Like, I don't know some people, but that makes me crazy.
But
so
it must have made you crazy when they contacted you about your personal Twitter account.
Oh, yeah. They made me delete it, which was infuriating.
They made you delete it. And you did.
Yeah. I was like, I can't explain to my crew.
Right.
Hey guys, we might not be able coming back now because I have this tweet. I've got this. I didn't care about the tweet. I was like, this
right,
is dumb.
Of course.
But I was mad to be told what to do, for sure.
How long did it take you to tweet it and then to delete it? And then how long were you angry afterwards?
Oh, I think it was about 2 hours after it went up that I deleted it, and I am still very angry. I mean, it has not gone away at all.
Well, do a feature called Defending Your Tweets,
mm-hmm.
and you have celebrities on the panel, and you read tweets to them.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe you should feature yourself on tomorrow night's show.
We thought about it. They want things to go away. Like when I went to comment about the trouble I get into, they're like, no, please don't bring this up again.
Oh, trust me.
We've run into that many times.
And their answer is always the same, which is they don't trust you to handle it in the right way. So they say, never mention it. It never happened.
Yeah. They always want it just to go away.
Yes.
That's all. People just don't want to get bothered anymore. And I don't care if they get letters from people. You know, but we had a couple things in season 1 that there was some blowback. And I was like, this will be great to talk about on the show. And they're like, don't.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Really?
But, you know, in their defense, one time we tried it. I got in trouble with New Zealand about a sketch. Pretty much the whole country. I think there's only like 100 people who live there.
Right.
But we got in trouble with them, and we were like, oh, this is hilarious. Like, it was on all their news things about this sketch we had done. And
you thought follow-up bit.
Yeah, I thought, let's make fun of the fact that this whole country's mad at us. And I fought with Comedy Central hard to do it. They were like, we don't want you to do it. But I was like, let me try it, and I'll have a backup just in case.
Okay.
And we needed the backup because people in the crowd were like, what are you talking about? Why, we don't know that New Zealand's mad at you. We're not mad at you. We're your fans. We don't care about this.
Okay.
So it just didn't make sense.
So it didn't make sense, you know, so you just cut it?
Yeah. Yeah.
How much stuff do you have to cut each week? Because it really is. It has offensive in the name for a reason. I mean, it really is fantastically offensive.
Oh, thank you.
It's just really.
Thank you so much.
It's really, from somebody who does something sort of like that, where we make fun of news, we make fun of public, whatever. They're much stricter on us. We couldn't get away with half the stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I think having offensive in the title really helps us get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
For sure. We have to cut stuff every week, but it's mostly for time. It's time or it wasn't funny enough. By the time it gets to, you know, the show, there's only a few things that I've like ad-libbed during the show that they've gotten upset about.
Right.
What's the
biggest blowback that you got on a feature?
It must have been – the New Zealand thing was pretty crazy.
That was bad.
We did a thing. There was a guy who got eaten by a shark in and like 30 people a year get eaten by sharks.
Right.
You know, so we were like, oh, this will be fun. Let's have like a party where I had like girls dressed up like sharks come out and dance with me. And right. I got a lap dance from a girl in a shark costume. And then we showed the guy's face at the end. And we're like, you know, let's
– In loving memory?
Let's thank the man who made this all possible. Kind of thing. And they – New Zealand doesn't even get the show, but they there was an online clip that Comedy Central put out there, and they saw that and took it to the family.
Oh,
and said,
that's how it works.
Oh,
that's how it works every time.
Yeah.
The people who see it aren't offended, but they take it to somebody who will be offended.
Exactly. Oh. So that blew up hard. That blew up hard.
Wow. So season two now, are they worried, do you think? Are there more people paying attention to what's going on now?
No, they're not.
Because he's a
really
loose cannon?
I think they try to reel me in a little bit, you know, but it's tough to do that. They just think, like, the show's a success, but if you maybe became a little more commercial, if you will, like talked more about pop culture than rape and death, then maybe more people would watch the show. But
isn't your sense that that's why people watch it?
Yeah, I think all these notes I get, I've been getting since my first open mic, you know, and I'm here for a reason. So just let me do.
I love it because I watch doing this job. I watch your show and I think, okay, we wouldn't touch that.
Yeah.
All right, we wouldn't touch that. Okay, the next thing that we wouldn't touch that. And somehow you bring that stuff up and get away with it.
Yeah, that's why it's a great show. Everything is about those horrible, horrible things. And we're the only show that would touch it, which is the most fun part for
me. He has a feature called the funniest horrible story of the day or something?
The worst thing of the week.
The best worst thing of the week and the worst thing of the week. It's fantastic. It's called The Jeselnik Offensive. It's on Comedy Central and it debuts season 2. Which may be his last. We don't know.
Maybe.
Tomorrow night. We'll be right back. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening. Hey, Lisa, we're on the air.
Sorry.
We're on the air.
I know.
If you don't mind, let's try and be professional.
I was talking to our guest.
Anthony Jeselnik is here talking about the Jeselnik Offensive. First, we need to congratulate again Cindy Ostalinod.
We really trying to be professional?
I don't know. I can't tell what... how it's spelled, but from Long Beach gets the Disneyland Dream Suite and 4 2-day passes.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
How about that? So congratulations. Anthony Jeselnik is in the studio with us. The Jeselnik Offensive is on tomorrow night on Comedy Central. It's on at
10:30.
Yeah,
after Drunk History.
After Drunk History, which is right up my alley. Any new features this year?
No. Actually, we did a thing called Sacred Cow last season. We're going to do that again, but we're kind of getting more into religion.
Explain Sacred Cows to people because I love your explanation.
Sacred Cow is, you know, when a topic is too sensitive to make a joke about, we make a bunch of jokes about it. We try to get as many as we can.
They don't leave it with just one. They go ahead and pile on.
Like the opening and the premiere tomorrow night, we do our Sacred Cow about necrophilia.
Okay, good.
Which was really fun to do. We got a we talked to like a therapist who deals with different kinds of philias, and then a mortician.
Okay,
who we kind of make fun of a little bit, and we thought we had an actual necrophiliac. We found some guy on a message board. He was like, "Yeah, I'll come talk to you, but you have to blur my face. You know, we can't
and you
do
were
it."
Like,
and
absolutely,
we were like, "Yeah, of course, we would love to have an actual necrophiliac." And then he watched clips of the show, and he was like, I think this show's offensive.
What?
I'm like, you're a necrophiliac. Like,
you got told by him that your show's offensive?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That was pretty great. It was pretty great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we enjoyed that. But we have some more religious segments called Where's Your God Now? Where we talk to Satanists.
Good.
And we've talked to some Muslims.
Okay.
Those bits are coming together.
What could go wrong with that?
Yeah, they were great. They were all they
last
were all
season.
Fantastic.
You talked to a child abduction specialist while sitting in a ball pit.
Yeah, that was fun.
Like a McDonald's ball pit. It's just weird. And you sort of try and walk the line. Like, he's a serious dude.
Yeah, I always tell McGrinney, you can get your information out, but I'm a comedy show.
So I'm going to have to try and be entertaining as well. Have you offended those people? Is there stuff he says, I don't want that on?
No, that guy was pretty cool. Most people understand, but there was a guy I talked to, a guy from FAD, Fathers Against Drunk Driving, and I drove him right up the wall. I mean, he lost his mind by the end of that.
He doesn't understand going in that's your goal.
He kind of knew, but he just couldn't believe how disrespectful I was. And not in like a morbid way, but just I couldn't keep a straight face.
You are a person who you can tell how much you like your own joke by your smile, though.
Yeah.
Because really, your worst stuff, you smile right through.
Well, I smile more because the crowd get laughs. When I'm like, I can't believe these people are laughing at what I just said, that's
because
when
it's horrible.
Yeah.
Right.
It's so horrible.
You can't believe they're laughing at what you just said.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so ironic.
Exactly. I'm like, I understand why
sick.
I said it. Yeah.
Now, what kind of people do you have lined up for the, who's on the panel tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, we got a great one. We got Amy Schumer and Jim Norton.
Love it.
Who are fantastic. We got a really murderous road this season. One of my favorites, we're going to have Dave Attell and Joan Rivers on the same episode.
Oh, Rivers, I couldn't hate more.
You don't like Joan Rivers?
Oh, I hate her.
Oh, love her. Oh. She's a legend.
But you love her for the same reason I hate her, I think. She's a legend. She's never been funny in my lifetime.
Really? Have you ever seen her live?
No.
I think that's what – did you see the
documentary? It's all the red carpet BS and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I
don't care about the red carpet. That stuff, why would you ever enjoy that?
Like, no. It's the opposite, is that I would watch it because I hated her so much.
Okay.
You know.
Gotcha.
So you're going to have her on as a guest.
Yeah, as a stand-up. She's edgy, man. She makes me look like – trying to be the least – I don't even know.
Jay Leno.
Edgy. Not even Leno. I would say he makes me look like Carson Daly. Take it one step further.
There's no possible way she could do that. You haven't already shot it yet. When do you shoot the show?
We shoot like the Thursday before, and it airs Tuesday. So we just shot the Amy and Jim one. We shoot with Kumail Nanjiani and David Koechner.
Kumail was the guy you had on last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kumail
was
great.
We had a lot of started following him on Twitter because of your defending tweet.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Why don't you stab me in the penis with a fork was one of his tweets. So, right. I have to follow that guy.
Yeah.
Now, has that ever gone wrong? Defend your tweets.
Defending your tweets?
I mean, most of these people, they're comedians. They are friends.
Yeah.
They know, of course, what they're getting into.
I've had people
Do you give them a heads up?
A little bit. I'm like, here's the joke we're going to use for you, just to kind of write something. But sometimes that goes wrong, where they're like, no. I don't want to defend this. This is old or it's out of context.
I see.
That's the point. Like, shut up. Just use the tweet we gave you. Yeah, that gets annoying.
Who fought you on it? Can you give us any names?
I know Amy did. I know Amy
she
had a
did.
Problem with some tweet. She's like, it's too old. Let's do something else.
That's weird.
It's rare. It's more like
she's super funny.
She's great. High maintenance, but great. sometimes if you just give them the option, you know, if you're like, hey, would you like to come in? Would you like to be on a panel with Jim Norton? Or would you like to be with someone else?
And
then they're like, oh, I'd like maybe someone else. I want my friend, and I won't come on if I don't get my friend. But it's just because you gave them that freedom.
Gotcha. Oh, right. So you don't give them that freedom.
No, you got to treat them all like animals.
First season.
Exactly.
How much editing is there? Because there's a lot of pressure in that panel situation. There's a lot of pressure where it seems like you're ad-libbing one right after another, and it's pretty high quality stuff.
Totally. I mean, we call it killing babies.
Okay.
Like, where did this joke go? Like, oh, we had to kill some babies. Like, things that we loved, but we had to take it out just for time.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Right. Because everyone's got kind of jokes written already, maybe in the beginning. And then but the good stuff is when we just start riffing.
When you start riffing, yeah, and ad-libbing off something else.
So, yeah, you always have to have stuff that you take out, and you're like, I can't believe we're losing this, but it's just for time. But there's a lot of editing to be done, just because we tape for so long.
Yeah.
How long do you tape for a half-hour episode?
About an hour, maybe a little over an hour. And most of that's, the beginning. But once we get into panel, you just want to be friends hanging out, enjoying yourselves.
That's what's fun
that
about
comes
it.
Across. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, tomorrow night at 10:30 on Comedy Central is the Jeselnik Offensive. Watch it. You will be offended, but that's the point. So keep it
just
to yourself.
Just know that going in.
Right. Just keep it to yourself and enjoy, because it's one of the best TV shows on. Anthony Jeselnik, thanks for coming in 2 hours ago.
Absolutely, guys.
We appreciate it. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. New politics on the world famous K-Rock. It is 9:38. Beer Mug, where are you going to be, man?
I'm going to be at the Los Cerritos Mall giving out the new K-Rock sticker. Woo-hoo!
Wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah.
You're going to be at the Los Cerritos Mall?
Yeah, in Cerritos. Ralph, you've never been there?
You act as if everyone's there all the time.
Oh, it's only at 168 Los Cerritos Center in Cerritos. Sorry.
Any particular store in the mall you'll be at hanging out?
Our favorite store, Hot Topic.
Oh, yeah. Hot Topic. I love Hot Topic.
Oh, they're the best.
Yeah. I thought Beerman would just be roaming the mall like a like a homeless dude looking for a bench to sleep on.
It
might help, Beermug, if you just narrowed things in a little bit, gave people an idea where in the mall they might be able to see you and get those stickers.
Really?
Yeah. Just a little piece of advice, a little broadcasting advice from your old pal Ralph.
Thanks, Ralph.
You're welcome, buddy. So at the Hot Topic in the Los Cerritos Mall, it's not just roaming the parking lot where people just have to try to find you. They can actually go to the Hot Topic there, and that's where you'll be giving out those tickets, those stickers.
He figured he'd be at the food mall most of the time.
He'd be at the food court.
His food court. Just trying to
just outside getting pretzel bits and churros and hot dogs on a stick. You fail on every level.
Except fat.
He succeeds at fat. All right, it is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office as we do every Monday morning. Despicable Me 2, just crushing the competition. $83 million just for the weekend. If you factor in the long holiday Wednesday and Thursday screenings as well, $140 million.
Yay!
Not too shabby. Lone Ranger, however, surprising everyone with how poorly it's doing at the box office, made about $30 million this weekend. The Heat was third, Monsters University and World War Z was fifth. Then White House Down, only making $13.5 million. That was good enough to make it number six. Man of Steel, Kevin Hart's new comedy concert film, Let Me Explain, was eighth. This is the end, and now you see me rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. You know, we're doing a lot of Comic-Con talk today. I was very excited because I've been giving out, I'll be giving out the passes to see one day of Comic-Con.
Right now?
Not right now, no. But all week long. So make sure you tune in for the Showbiz Beats because I will be giving out those passes. Amazing, exciting news about Comic-Con. For the first time ever, as you can imagine, at Comic-Con because you don't necessarily put the two together, Metallica performing at Comic-Con this year.
What?
How do you like me now?
Metallica
will be at Comic-Con. A very special live performance by the band at a secret, super-duper secret location. An intimate, private concert in San Diego.
Is this one of those parties that you have to be invited to?
No, this is a concert event that they will be providing an opportunity to win tickets and learn the location of where Metallica will be playing the same day as their Hall H panel that they're doing for their brand new motion picture, Metallica Through the Never, their new 3D feature film that they've made. So they're there to promote that. And they also will be providing you information on how you can get your tickets and what the location will be for the super secret location show in San Diego. So this is all happening Friday of the four-day Comic-Con, Friday, July the 19th in Hall H at 6:30 p.m. is when the band will be doing their panel, and then you'll get more information about the show and how to get tickets at that. So,
will Glenda be there?
If you're a fan of Metallica, you want to be at that panel.
Glenda's a big Metallica
fan. She can't get enough.
Loves it.
She's always showing her cans there, too. She's in the front row with a Metallica t-shirt. Wow! Letting those puppies loose. Have you been following the controversy over there at Big Brother on CBS?
No.
Something about a racist. That's all I know.
Yes, Lisa. It's been disgusting, even more so than usual.
Really?
Over there in the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
Several of the Big Brother house guests have been outed, for lack of a better word, for their racist and homophobic comments.
Outed meaning people are aware of it or they got kicked out of the house?
Outed in terms of their behavior. It's been a big story in the news about, for example, this college student, Erin Gries. She is a model and college student.
Yes.
Just saying really disturbing things, like telling housemate Helen Kim, who is of Korean descent, go make some rice, she says to her. Then later jokes to another housemate about, I probably look like a squinty Asian right now, she says. Then more Asian slams by doing a character from an Asian nail salon in an affected voice saying, why you have no boyfriend is because you don't want long nail. And other housemates, Gina Marie Zimmerman, said about Candace Stewart, an African-American housemate, she's on the dark side because she's already dark.
These aren't even good.
No, they're just horrible, wow. Hateful things.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war.
A third house
race
guest.
Race war's on, everybody.
No, it's not.
It's going down.
Really,
it's race. Going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
Spencer Clausen, a third house guest in the house, called one fellow player who is a homosexual, Kermit the F, A G, the slur word for gay.
Sure.
And Spencer also, in a separate conversation, praised Hitler as a gifted speaker.
Oh my God.
So this is the quality of house guest you have in Big Brother this season. So CBS, of course, naturally embarrassed by the behavior. Just shocked and dismayed, I'm sure, that they have people like that living in the Big Brother house. Aired an episode highlighting the best of the racist and homophobic comments made in the Big Brother house last night.
Really?
And, God bless you, America, won the night in the ratings for airing montages of all the homophobic and racist comments made by the contestants.
USA!
Yeah.
USA!
Yeah, that's before. Come a long way, America. I hate people who are like that. I just, ooh, it's on television. Ooh, let me see what they say. Oh, look at, ooh, they're making fun of those people. Yeah, it's just a horrible thing on every level.
I can't believe that show's still on.
Winner for the night, yeah. Apparently did very well for itself. Explain. Someone explain to me.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't want to see those douchebags behaving like that. The good news is a lot of them are losing their jobs and stuff, which is nice.
That's good.
The one girl who's with the horrible Asian comment, she was dropped by her modeling agency. Another woman lost her job, and the guy who thinks Hitler was a gifted speaker, he's well on his way to losing his job as a railroad conductor for Union Pacific.
Did they think people wouldn't be paying attention to this?
Well, it's not brother. Like there's cameras around them 24 hours a day. How would anyone find out they would say those things?
Nice job, dumbass.
Nice job, dumbass, indeed. Kris Jenner's new talk show hasn't even started yet, and already people are saying it's a failure. According to Star Magazine, she's ticking off her entire staff by acting like a diva.
Oh, come on.
Shock.
There can't be anyone surprised at that.
And her bosses, the producers, aren't too happy about the upcoming shows either, because apparently she's got a weak guest list. Not like a week of guests, but a week as in not strong guest list. And no one wants to come on her show and talk to her. Why would you
want
to have a conversation with that woman?
You wouldn't.
Kanye West, her potential son-in-law, I guess, was requested to be the guest on her first episode, and according to sources, he politely declined.
I'd like to know what he really said instead of the politely declined.
Something about croissants, if I'm not mistaken. He was asking if they would have them, and then she said no. Hey, to celebrate the 4th of July, did everybody tune in to watch Neil Diamond perform his new Freedom song?
No.
What kind of Americans are you?
When and where would that have happened?
Neil Diamond wrote a brand new song for Boston because, of course, he's very attached to that city at Fenway Park. They play Sweet Caroline in the seventh inning stretch, and he performed it live after the Boston Marathon bombings there. It was a very cool gesture of him, and he was so moved by his appearance there, he said he was going to write a song specifically for Boston, and then all the profits from that song would be given to charities benefiting Boston and the families of the bombing victims, which is a very nice gesture.
Sure.
With that in mind, he should have written a better song. The Freedom song, subtitle, They'll Never Get Us Down, was finally debuted over the 4th of July holiday weekend. And, here's a little taste. You can judge for yourself. This is not.
Mama.
No, this is.
Just kill a man.
William Shatner doing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Put a gun against his head.
Then what happened?
Pulled my trigger.
You gotta keep going.
Now he's dead.
My favorite part.
Mama.
Mama.
All right, here's the song.
They'll never take us down. Well, some may try. We're gonna stand our ground. It's do or die. The freedom that we found can't be denied, and they can never take us down. Oh no, our freedom is wise.
Yeah. That's a terrible song.
Doesn't that make you feel good to be an American?
Doesn't make it feel good to own a rhyming dictionary?
USA! USA! USA!
They'll never take us down.
That sounds like somebody doing a parody of him.
They'll catch a train out of town. They'll wear a wedding gown.
They'll never take us down. Though right, some may try.
What rhymes with down?
We're gonna stand our ground.
Ground. Good, ground.
Good. Do or die. The freedom that we found. Can't be denied. And they
let's
can never take us
let's go
down.
Go down again.
Oh no. Our freedom is why.
Never take us down. Although we've gained a few pounds.
It was written by a second grader.
Hey, what was that sound?
Man.
Well, Dina Lohan, Mother of the Year. She's my nominee. Her daughter, Lindsay Lohan, is not quite out of rehab yet, but apparently will be very soon.
Is the 90 days
almost up?
I can't
believe 90 days has gone by that quickly. She will be leaving the facility in Malibu where she's currently receiving treatment. And according to sources, she will move in with her mother, Dina, in Long Island to escape all the attention and paparazzi of Hollywood. So she'll be leaving California once she gets out of rehab. And Dina, the ever-supporting mother, has decided, in order to celebrate her daughter's recovery, she's going to throw a giant pool party at their house for all their friends and family.
Oh.
Excellent! Yeah. Oh, I hope there's going to be keg stands.
You know. Is my impression is that both of them are terrible parents.
Yes,
is
but
that
how?
Accurate?
But just this is, look, this is not a complicated equation to figure out, just socially, just in terms of etiquette. If someone gets released from a rehab facility for treatments for drugs and alcohol, the last thing you want to do is put them in a party situation. Even if there's no booze at the events. You know what then? It becomes the elephant in the room. There's no booze at this event.
Right.
Then even you're putting focus on that. You know what? Just
and then she starts thinking, this party sucks because
there's no booze. And where? How do I get booze? And then one domino falls to another. Next thing you know, she's hanging nude from a tree in those gravity inversion boots. Performing acts that really should not be performed with the gardener.
Wow, how did we get there?
Well, that's what everyone's going to ask the next day, Lisa. You know how they got there? Because Dina Lohan threw a pool party for her recovering daughter. Just have her come home, buy her a book, get her a journal, make her a cup of cocoa, and put her in a room with an Afghan and just take a nap. That's how you celebrate coming out of rehab. Just decompress a little bit. You don't need a pool party. You don't need a lot of people.
Yeah.
Madness. All right, today's celebrities were all born on today, July the 8th. Jeffrey Tambor, 69 years old today. Angelica Houston. She used to be on that show, Smash. Remember that show?
Nope.
Yes. Those were good times.
I like that
Those
show.
Were good times, Smash. Yeah. 62 years old. Actor Kevin Bacon is 55. Bastard won't age. Son of a bitch. Country singer Toby Keith is 53 years old today, celebrating by putting his American boot up somebody's forearm. Keyboardist Andy Fletcher of Depeche Mode is 52. Singer Joan Osborne is 51. Actor Billy Crudup. Remember him, speaking of comic books and Comic-Con. He was Dr. Manhattan in The
sure,
Watchmen.
Right.
He was blue and naked a lot in that film.
Right.
45 years old today. Actor Michael Weatherly, currently on NCIS, is 45 years old as well. Beck's 43. Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes and Rocky Balboa. He is 36 years old. And actress Sophia Bush is 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.